I just
you
did.
Sit up there, okay.
Yes, you're welcome to come up here and sit.
You don't even know how to get in there.
The danger zone.
Okay, I'll call the meeting. Call the meeting to order.
Yeah.
Should be on. I'll call this meeting to order, and we will start our meeting with the Pledge of Allegiance. And the flags are right behind us here.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, at this time we'll do roll call.
Janet
Peel. Here.
Scott Love.
Yes.
Robert Vesey.
Here.
Larry Elvinish.
Here.
Troy Lonsby.
Here.
But I'm not using a mic because I think most people can hear it.
My name is Deanna Hagberg. I've been asked to facilitate this meeting tonight. The purpose of the meeting is that the Dakota County Commissioners wanted the public input for tonight. So we have asked you to sign in if you choose to talk tonight. If you did not sign in, and after listening to somebody and you choose to speak afterwards, there will be an opportunity for you to do that. Some of the ground rules tonight. First thing is, everybody, please, I know you can't shut your phones off, but please put them on silent. So everybody has the phones on silent. We're going to ask you to come to the podium. The mic that's laying on the table is the one you need to speak in. We'll need you to say your name, spell it for us, and we need your address. She needs it for public record. So also, they've asked that when you come up to either say whether you're in opposition for it or if you're just here to gain more information. The time frame to speak will be 5 minutes. We do have a timer. Cherie will be running the timer. You want to show them what you're doing? So there is a green light, yellow light, red light. So that is your timer. If you have a question that you need to ask either one of the commissioners, Joan, Tim Decker for the Sheriff's Office, and our federal marshals, they will have 5 minutes to reply back to you also. Questions and comments, we need to keep at a courtesy and be very respectful to everybody. We're all here for the same reason, to gain more information, and that's what I'm going to ask of all of you. I hope that we can keep it that way. If we can't, then I will ask you to leave at some point. We'll give you one warning, and then if it happens again, I will ask you to leave the courtroom. I don't want any personal attacks towards anybody. We're all here for the same reason. We're all here to find out more information. Some of you are for it, some of you are against it, and some of you are just here to find out more information. So let's just not do any personal attacks tonight. And the other thing that you will see, Cherie's going to try to keep a summary of what's been asked or spoken of so we have it in writing. But this isn't a debate, and this isn't here for an argument. So I want everybody to keep that in check tonight. And then for time purposes, if you've heard a question or a comment made, let's not try to repeat it. It'll just, you know, get us through here faster. So with that, I will ask the first online, Heather, to come forward. The mic that's laying on the table is the one you can use. State your name, spell it please, and your address.
My name is Heather Miller, H-E-A-T-H-E-R, M-I-L-L-E-D, 2134 I have three questions that I would like answered, and it's going to come to the Marshal Service and the board on a couple of them. First of all, if there's concerns with the contract, which according to some of the commissioners in public record, there's concerns. Why isn't it renegotiated? It seems like it's an unsigned contract. Why can't you renegotiate and get it in writing? If there's things that need to be clarified, why aren't you clarified? Get it in writing. If they need to be amended, amend it. If the Marshal Service has agreed to pay more, if the cost is more, why isn't that in the contract? Again, the contract. If this doesn't go through, which seems like a very silly thing, obviously I'm pro, but if this doesn't go through, what's your plan for the county budget? How much more do you intend on taxpayers to pay? Those are my questions.
So I'll just start, if that's how we're going to do it, is the contract can still be negotiated, and if it would if the board would choose to approve the project, the marshals have indicated that the time frame for payback could be extended 6 months, which would be additional revenue. So it's still nothing set in stone currently.
Okay, but if that's the case, and if the contract isn't done, then why are you arguing to shut it down now?
That's another question.
The current terms of the contract, that's where the concern is, and we haven't negotiated.
Why not?
Different numbers. We're working on that.
We can't hear.
That's why we need to use the mic.
Okay.
Do you want Janet to hear or Heather to hear? Who are you guys trying to hear?
Can you hear them or not hear me?
They can't hear you. This isn't an issue.
Where was our mic?
Right here.
That's right.
It's
going to have to go back and forth.
Okay.
So if the contract isn't done, and we're all here tonight because we're trying to figure out whether or not this is a good thing or a bad thing, and you don't have a final contract to even go off of whether or not this is good or bad.
We have the initial contract, and that's what we've been doing all of our analysis off. And then the marshal came to the last meeting and said we can make some adjustments, but we haven't gotten those all ironed out yet.
Okay, so in a nutshell, the contract you have isn't the contract you're working on. So the contract that we know about isn't even what's really out there.
Yes, that's the one we're working on.
That doesn't make any sense. So you're saying what we've been reading and what we know about is not the accurate contract that you have worked with the Marshal Service. So we don't know what's really in the contract.
What you've read is in the contract is correct, but they have indicated that they will adjust it, but we haven't gone through the adjustments because we've been cranking the numbers.
Why not adjust the contract so we can all read it? I mean, we're pretty good with math, too.
Mm-hmm. Good question. We're in that process.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but the Marshal Service, you guys, from reading it, basically pay to put the jail up.
Yes, that's correct.
So I'm
going to let her get through it, and then I'll address it.
So if the money's coming from them to pay for the jail, that's not in the contract. I just read it 5 minutes ago. So why isn't that in the contract?
It does. I'd say it doesn't read necessarily like that.
So make it read that way.
So the contract reads this way: if the county decides to move forward, that they once it's done and we are accepting prisoners, that the current contract we have, which is the same one you read, it's $80 a day, would go to 85 prisoners at $150 a day guaranteed, and whether they had one or 85. So. That contract.
Till it's paid for or 30 months.
Correct. Till it's paid for or 30 months. Now, the number that the marshals came up with and the architect came up with initially has risen.
Significantly.
I wouldn't say significantly. Our beginning budget was $11 to $12 million, and now it sits at 13.5. So really the percentage isn't astronomical.
But again.
But it has gone up. I agree. And our response to the marshals was, from the get-go, the marshals have said all along, we will renegotiate to pay for this. They need it. So the difference between 30 months and then the extra money is like 2 months, 3 months.
It could be 32 or 36 months.
Well, yes. It says until it's paid for right. or 30 months.
Or 30 months. I believe it needs to be changed to... Here's the issue. We don't know because we haven't gone far enough in to get some more concrete numbers. We got 13.5 is a fairly good number, but we need to go a little farther to get that 100% number. Well, we're never going to get to 100%.
So I'm not a lawyer. Everyone's go for one, but I have a little bit of common sense. And if it's not in the contract, it obviously is never going to read that way. You're open to interpret any kind of contract any kind of way if the words aren't there. So you would eliminate a lot of crap and a lot of people today.
But
if you
Okay, Heather, your time's up. So I'm going to move you on. I'm sorry.
Thank you, Heather.
We'll keep it, Heather, at the end if you have something else. Okay. Larry Bradstad? Moving forward, if you have more than one question, feel free to ask them, but then I need you to sit down, and then they will take their time to answer.
That's how
So if you direct it to somebody, just make sure you want somebody to answer it.
Hello. Well, I want to thank you all for having this meeting. Can anybody not hear me back there? Am I loud enough? Okay. I'd like to thank you for having this meeting so we all be here to talk about this. I want everybody to know straight up front that I am definitely for the expansion of this jail.
We need your name and your address, sir.
I was just kidding.
Okay.
My name is Larry Brostead. I live at 216 East 13th, South Sioux City, Nebraska. Okay, I have a couple of questions, and it really involves this article that you two put in the paper last month. And one of them is Commissioner Lansby. You stated that you have visited with many people in different communities about this, and they were all not favorable of it. I wish you would have put a little bit more in the article, like which communities were the and how they rated us. And you can wait. You said you'd answer when I sit down. So I got it now. And I'm disappointed that you didn't put a little more complete information. It's like you're pointing a picture to what could be a bad part about this, but not looking at it open-mindedly that it's a good part that you didn't put in here. And you, Commissioner Gill, made the statement that the taxpayer input with the program we got right now is pretty minimal. And you stated that a $125,000 house would come around to about $37.50 tax savings. Mm-hmm. Well, you hit me right where I live. I live in a $125,000 house.
That's the average.
And my taxes went up this year $400. And you can all sit around here and you can talk about, and you know, well, it's the state, it's blah, 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 it's that. But the bottom line is, it comes down to this. You say it's really not worth having this for this minimal amount. Well, if this was the case and we didn't have this, my taxes would have went up $437.50. And we live on a fixed income. Very difficult. And the bottom line is, that tax increase for me came on all of you people's watch. So I want you to look at this a little bit deeper, I hope, to the fact there is money to be made here. And another thing that we haven't talked about from anybody on, that, and I read all the minutes of all the meetings and went through them yesterday real thoroughly, and nobody's talked about the expansion of the county, the growth of the county, when this jail was built and things. And it was built, and I remember real well when we went through everything to get this jail built. And it's worked out pretty fine. And we're not thinking about this community growing. As the community grows, there's going to be more jail space that's needed. And this looks like a perfect opportunity for me to look down the road and not drop this on our children or our grandchildren to pay for it. So, having said that, that's about all I have to say. Thank you for letting me do that.
Thank you, Larry. Thank you.
Right, commissioners, you have 5 minutes.
You want to go first, Tori?
You want to grab that?
Sure, it's not working.
Okay. I didn't mention, you know, everybody I talked to. There's only so much room in the Star. Some of the people I talked to, the commissioners, they really don't want you to mention their name because they don't want 100 people calling them. So I didn't go any further than that. As far as this jail making a lot of money, 85 beds at $150 times 30 months is $11,634,275. Operating cost is $4,228,012. Okay, so that leaves $7,021,414. You take that away from $13,538,622. We are short $6,517,208. And it looks to me that the taxpayer has to pay for that.
Okay, Larry, thank you for your comments. A $400 increase in your county taxes is kind of unusual because I know we reduced our taxes this year by 2 cents. So maybe there was an increase in your valuation. Where's Larry at?
I'm right here.
Oh, Larry, okay. There we go. But yeah, we reduced the levy by 2 cents this year. So I know mine went down a little bit, and I think most people saw a slight decrease, but maybe you had a valuation increase.
Yeah, there's that story, but still an increase. And okay. It'll get worse.
Okay, and I understand that, yeah. With fixed income, that's very challenging.
Yeah, when we have to build a jail and we don't have any federal support in it, it'll be a lot worse.
Okay, so your current jail, I mean, you're right, it has generated some good revenue for us. As a matter of fact, we have, they typically have sold 20 to 30 beds, and I commend the sheriff and the jail staff for doing that, 20 to 30 beds to the feds, federal government, the U.S. Marshals, and that has generated about $500,000 to $600,000. Which has been very helpful for the budget. But in expansion, as I look at this, the revenue just doesn't seem to flow as well because of the high cost of operating an additional facility. The additional facility with, you know, 15 to 20 employees, you're talking a couple $1 million. So you have to have quite a few people in the expansion to cash flow it and make it a positive cash flow. As a matter of fact, you have to go about 10 years out to see any significant cash flow, positive cash flow.
You've got your jail built in 10 years, it's paid for.
My children
aren't looking to pay for another.
Yeah, that's about how far you have to go out before there's that positive cash flow. But on the other hand, as far as that $600,000 in the budget could probably be managed in our current process. Other things that are happening this year that I'm aware of, we have two TIF projects that are coming off of back into the tax payrolls, and one of them has a fairly significant annual taxes of around $400,000. And then we have the other one, I don't have the numbers on, the other TIF project. And the other thing that's coming two or three years down the road, I believe, is the horse racetrack and casino, and that will add some revenue. So honestly, I don't think we'll have to increase $37.50 for you. I'm hoping we can accommodate it in other ways. But thank you for your comments. Those are very valid.
Troy, on your answer to me about, I want to repeat this without, well, your answer about you talked to a lot of people and they didn't want their names mentioned, well, then you shouldn't even have made that statement. If people aren't willing to stand up and back up what they say somewhere, that's not great information to bring back here and say that's the reason we shouldn't build this jail.
I'm sorry.
Okay. Mike O'Brien.
You probably won't have any problem hearing me, but we'll do this anyway. Michael E. O'Brien. MICHAEL, middle initial E, O, apostrophe, BRIEN. I am for this, big time. Now, let's understand something here to begin with. In the process of progress, which this would definitely be, some people are going to be unhappy and some people are going to be happy. There's no way around that. That's just the way it works. Now, something that I'm not hearing at least so far, is the jobs that this new jail will create. And it's going to be a fair amount, if I understand this correctly. Then there's the jobs of building the thing. And then there's all the jobs that go with it. The janitorial service. You got to feed the prisoners. You got to keep it clean and all of the other things that go on with there. So it's going to create a fair amount of jobs. All in all, there is going to be very little cost to the county taxpayers to get this thing built. If you look at it as a percentage, I'm estimating somewhere around 2% at the most, and I could be totally wrong with that. As for me, I'd like to get federal money coming back to me. I paid a lot in taxes. We all pay taxes. It's nice to get some federal money to come back this way. Someone, I won't say who, said we should not be building a prison for the federal prisoners, or words to that extent. That's basically what it came to. If not us, who? You want them to build a prison somewhere outside of Dakota County and miss out on all that good stuff that goes with it? That doesn't make any sense at all. We're going to spend some money. There's no question. But all in all, I guess in 10 years or so, it will start paying dividends. Well, like most businesses that start, it takes a while to get dividends back or get into the black, unless you go into it with more money than you actually need to have. And I know very few people that do that. And it supports a local economy. You buy things from hardware stores, Walmart, other places like that. The janitorial service. Who does the janitorial?
They're county employee.
Okay. Do we have anybody that comes in and does it?
No, we have a county employee that does it.
Okay.
For the jail.
Okay. Well, we'll scratch that one. Now, if I understand this correctly, at one time, the federal government was sending prisoners to other prisons. Does that still happen? Because there's no room here.
That's correct.
Yeah. It still does happen. Where are we letting all that money go? Somewhere else. Doesn't make any sense. If anybody wants to comment, I don't believe my time's up yet.
You have a minute. If you're done, I'll pass the mic and they can...
No comment? Okay. Thank you for your time.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Margaret?
I wasn't sure who you were talking about.
Yes.
Okay, I'm Margaret Kane, MargueriteCain. I live at 114 North 2nd Street in Homer, and I am definitely for the jail expansion. One of my first questions, and it's kind of sort of been answered, but do we now have a contract with the U.S. Marshal Services at the Dakota County Jail right now?
Yeah.
Okay, because the question that I've seen come up from people is about this 120-day termination clause. And I understand that that's in that contract also. Is that true? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yep.
So I'm not sure what the big to-do is about it, because if that's a natural or a normal, you know, part of their contract all the time, then it shouldn't be a big issue in this project. And as for the construction costs, I had understood that the government would extend the time, and they've already said that they would. So I think with the land available to extend the jail here and our need for more revenue coming in for several years, this project could certainly keep our local property taxes reasonable or even maybe lower for all of us. not just, you know, anybody. But and the new employees would be likely to buy a home or build a house or, you know, live in our county. They would also be spending money at our Walmart and our Hy-Vee and all our gas stations and that type of thing. So that would be bringing in more money. I know it's not a ton per person, but it adds up. And if they're going to have, you know, numerous new employees. I know a lot of time and money has been spent by a lot of people who know a lot more about this whole endeavor than most of us here, like these guys here and over there. I think it's time that we trusted their judgment and proceeded with the jail expansion. We should all be pretty honored that our Dakota County has been presented with this opportunity. It's not going to happen everywhere. And if it does happen, if we don't get this and say they get it in Pender, they're going to take the federal prisoners that we have now out of the Dakota County Jail and move them to Pender or Wakefield or wherever, you know. And so that's going to take away the money that we have coming in right now. And somehow we're going to have to catch that up. And obviously it'll probably be property taxes for all of us who live in the county. So I'm definitely for the project, and I hope it goes through.
Thanks, Marguerite.
Thanks, Marguerite.
Thank you. Any comment?
Yeah, good night. Okay, thank you for that comment. I have a question, and Mr. Decker, maybe you could answer this for me. I averaged out what it cost per prisoner in the last year, and I come up with $74.82. I took the...
Could be. I'm not done.
But, so, I mean, and I think we've asked the question before. We never really have got the answer of what it costs for a federal prisoner daily. Because, you know, this is with the federal and the rest of them, I understand.
Sure. And you know, I think...
That's kind of a question to you, I guess.
Yeah.
Because 74.82 to 80 later on is not much profit.
I guess I can try to answer that question. I'm not to look it up, but I mean, the more I'm willing to answer that. You got it? Go ahead, Joan. I'll let you take over. Joan Spencer.
Every month we get a jail report, and I've recorded the average inmate cost, and it comes out to $57.52.
For all of them, Joan?
Sorry, I have it divided by 12. I need divided by 11.
But I'm saying...
But I don't have December yet.
Is that broken down by county inmate or federal inmate?
Everybody.
Just everybody.
Everybody. That's all.
And here's the biggest thing I would...
It's 62.75.
62.75.
And that... We can't really compare that apples to apples to just in federal... U.S. Marshals, because there's a lot of extra operating expenses that aren't going to apply.
The federal one.
For one big is medical.
The medical is the biggest thing. All county prisoners, the county has to pay their medical expenses. The federal prisoners, we don't major medical. If it's something that's an aspirin in the jail or that, yeah, we pay for that. That's in the contract. But major medical, it's paid by the feds. So, I mean, there can be months where we have hundreds of thousands of dollars in medical expenses. So that's going to raise when you try to average it out per inmate, I mean, we can break it down. I mean, we can find you that number because it's easy. We'll just take the federal inmates out of it, the medical. But it's going to be significantly lower than a county inmate. Because county inmates includes medical and a federal inmate won't. So. But we can find that number. I mean, I can't find it right now, but I will get it for anybody that would like it.
Tim, in this paragraph here, it don't really, the only thing it gets into is, like, if you take a guy out for a heart attack, surgery, stents, and things of that nature, and lists all these other things, the medical pills and all that stuff. And it's not very clear to me. It says the cost of all the above, reference medical care, is covered by the federal per diem rate. That's the rent, and that's what the feds pay us with the IBM.
Sure. So I would say to that is that...
All those things, that so, is real unclear to me.
So what I'd say to that is, anytime that it's in the jail, so it's taken care of in the jail, we're going to cover. So we're talking about Band-Aids and aspirins. Anytime that we need to leave the jail, the feds are going to cover, the marshals are going to cover. So broken legs, stitches, surgeries.
There's scheduled meds too. It's our totally separate
and this is our nurse, Jennifer, from the jail. So all federal inmates?
All federal inmates' meds are from a totally different pharmacy than theirs.
And they're paid by the U.S. Marshals, so. So the way I understand is simple stuff that they can see that, see Jennifer, our nurse, for is aspirin, Band-Aids.
This agreement is worded exactly like the one we currently have?
Correct.
This wording right here?
It's like the one we probably had for way before I was ever here.
So it's my assumption that perhaps they've changed it because of our hearing.
No, they have not. It's the exact wording, and I have the old contract.
But it'd be nice if it was in writing that, you know, because down the road, we don't know what 5 years from now is going to bring, or 3 years,
well,
or whatever.
I guess my response to that would be, we know what the last 20 years has done, and it's worked exactly the way it's worked.
That's
so,
good.
I mean, we, why would we help house federal inmates that we got to take the burden of the medical expense for? We don't. We wouldn't do it. We couldn't afford to do it.
You lose money.
You're right. That's why it doesn't happen. It happens the way it happens, where they pay for all major medical, including their pharmaceutical stuff. So.
Well, even other outside doctors' appointments.
Yes. Anytime they leave the jail. So if we have to. Would be an outside medical. We would, if we take them to a.
I'll let you finish, and then we'll.
If we take them outside to a medical appointment, our deputies, our jailers, get paid an hourly rate, which is in the contract, plus mileage. So, not only do they pay for the medical, we get paid to take them to that medical.
Russ Rasmussen.
Thank you for that, Tim.
Russ Rasmussen, last name Rasmussen, 1203 Highway 12, Ponca, Nebraska. It is in Dakota County. I wasn't sure I wanted to even come up here, but it appears to me that we're looking at risk, and part of that risk is losing, like we mentioned before, the income from federal prisoners that we have at the present time. And the other risk, of course, is the county being stuck with a bill to pay for jail if the income isn't there. So it was more or less just a comment to me. I can't see why we would want to try to lose revenue that we're depending on right now, apparently, and not build a jail. A risk that the county might get stuck with it, but I accept that risk as a Dakota County person. I accept that. I think we should go ahead with that risk. Thank you.
Anybody want to reply? I have a name on here we cannot read. You come in early. Starts with an A. South Sioux.
It's probably me. I told you right on it. Arlen King.
Okay, Arlen.
I'm sorry about that. My hand.
Sorry.
His hands are cold. Actually, his hands
are cold. I'm not going back to school anymore, so. Well, I'm definitely for it, and I was involved with Bill McClarty and several others, Lance Hedquist from the city. We built the first jail with a 1% sales tax, which we built with the intentions of adding on eventually down the road. And the Fed's been working with us all this time. The sheriff's been working with us. I've heard no complaints. I'm on the Merit Commission. We're hiring deputies and hiring jailers and stuff. So I'm just confused a little bit when I read the articles, when I read through all these, and it says everybody approved the first session. Everybody did. Then all of a sudden, three people say, no, we're not going to do this. And, you know, I look around town today, and I'm driving around in light form. I was going to call Pat and say, do you realize you built a big addition on this? Did you think about this before you did it? I mean, he built a huge addition on, and he's going to build another one. Then I drive down the street, and here's J.C. Roofing. So I called J.C. Roofing up, and I said, what are you guys thinking about adding this big addition when times are supposed to be tough? Well, he said, Arlen, we're busier than you can believe. He said, I should add it on again. You know, I've been in the car business 50-some years now, and it's tougher than ever right today. But guess what? I'm still buying cars, and I'm still selling cars, and I'm not overpricing cars. I treat people right. And I'm just concerned why we're dragging our feet right now and then going to spend a lot of money if we don't take the deal. And the feds have been honest with us the whole time. They're better than a car salesman.
I don't know about you, though. I don't know about you. Not that good.
You want me to spell my name? I didn't spell my name.
Yeah.
You know, Joan knows me. And like I say, I've been on the college board for Northeast Community College for the last 10 years. I resigned or retired the first of the year because of my age and I'm getting too old. But guess what? Before I retired, they told me they're going to put a big chunk of money in Dakota County adding on to the college center. So guys, things are looking good. And I get really disgusted when I hear some negative thoughts about, well, what if? Hey, I've been through the times when the gas was high, when the cars were not selling. And I went to the bank one day and borrowed some money, and I said, I need $60,000. This was 30 years ago. The banker looked at me and said, Arlen, it's 28% for an interest time. I said, I want to go on a float. He said, what do you mean? I said, I don't want to stay at 28%. I'll put me on a float. Well, he said, what if it goes to 30? I said, let it go to 40. We're going to all be gone if it does. You know, and I took a chance, and guess what? I survived it, but you know, I wish I could help you with why you're thinking the way you are, some of you, about this project, because it's a good project. We got a bunch of good deputies in this town here, and we're growing. I can't believe how much South Sioux City has grown in the last 20 years, and the community, so everybody. So we got to think about this before we just say, oh no, we're not going to do this now. Because don't we have to pay somebody back if we don't take this deal?
Not to my recollection. There's no payback.
There's a termination clause.
Yeah, the architect fee is not going to go away.
Yeah, because we already did some of the research.
We got to do this. You know, I built a building here a while back for this church, and everybody said, "Oh, you guys are crazy. Build a pole building." Guess what? I went with light form. So I mean, you got to take chances, but it worked. So, and I know we can make this work. I know we got good people on the board. Larry's been around a long time. He's a contractor. He's done a few things in his life, I think. He's not going to comment.
Yeah.
But, you know, guys, we got to take a chance on this.
I guess I'd be real happy if we got a check for $15 million, and if it didn't cost any more than that, we'd give it back. I guess I still have that fear that it isn't going to work out. And I know there's positive thoughts about it and negative, but
I've thought a lot about it too, and I've read this thing over a dozen times. I've talked to other people. The people I'm not just talking to somebody I just talk on the street, and most people have been for it. Some didn't understand it. So when you explain it to them, they understood it. It was just like when we built the first phase, guys. We had 12 or 14 business people, wasn't it? We didn't ask the commissioners. We asked 14 business people. We went out and had public meetings and got their input. What do you think of the sales tax deal? Let's do it. Lance will tell you, we went to a meeting, and it was a bunch of us on the bus, and Lance was heading this meeting up. We're riding in the bus going down to Lincoln, Nebraska. He said, what do you guys think? And we all voted on it right there on the bus that we should do this. And then we went ahead and got everything lined up. And so I've been around a little bit.
Yeah, you've been around a lot, and we all know that the sales tax at the time was half a percent for the county and half a percent for
the
city. It was the
city
to pay for the bond.
Right.
Okay.
And I know these feds work well with us, and they like us. And I'm not saying anything about Sioux City. I know Sioux City's building a jail, but that doesn't mean they're going to get the fed deal.
All right, we'll let the commissioners respond.
I can answer a couple of questions. Yeah,
you can sit down.
When you're done, do you want to respond?
I'll let you. You want
okay.
to?
Okay, I would like to respond to that. Okay, yeah, thanks, Arlen. I want to respond back on that because the first thing that you said when you came up here that on August 23rd, it was voted, it was a 4-0 vote, okay, to move on to sign a contract with the marshals and to move forward with the architects, etc. I was gone that meeting, okay? September 7th, one of the commissioners was gone, and it was a 2-2 vote, okay? And then after that, on the 4th, it was a 2-3. We were all there. And I guess, to me, it just... I've looked at the numbers. Joan and I ran over the numbers. She's given us lots of spreadsheets on it. And I have a lot of faith in these guys. I really can't believe that they're going to spend the time and energy when we have a building that was designed for a phase two. That's a huge savings right there, okay? When you're building a jail brand new scratch, okay, it's going to be more money. So as we're adding on, it's a savings. And that's the reason why there was the phase two. That this went back to, what, 07, 08 when we originally...
15 years ago.
Yeah, right. So I totally agree that... Me as a commissioner, I don't know how it went. It went from 4-0 to 2-3, and after several meetings. And we all know that the county will, the government will, moves very, very slow. Okay, so I think that goes back to Heather's question. You know, why haven't we redone the contract and this and that? Because we're negotiating and looking, and I know they proposed some things, but it's a slow wheel. You got to remember, we meet twice a month. But, yeah, back to your main question, how does it change? I'm with you, brother, because I don't know either how it changes, okay? How do you go from 4-0 to all of a sudden it's voted down? Several meetings, so, yeah.
I've heard things, you know, around town about, well, the lodge, the thefts aren't as bad and everything around the area. It's getting worse, I think. I mean, I listen to the news a lot, and what I'm reading is, you know, it's getting worse about. And the feds are going to have more people that are doing this stuff.
You know, well, you know, I made the comment at the meeting, once a criminal, always a criminal.
Yeah.
I mean, there is a rule of exception, I get that. But yeah, how many to the feds' questions, how many, you're talking 120?
120 what?
The feds?
Sioux City, how many federal inmates does Sioux City have?
We go between 100 and probably 10 to 130 inmates just in the Sioux City office. And that's only one office. We also, part of this expansion is expecting input not only from Sioux City, but from possibly Council Bluffs, possibly from Omaha, possibly from Lincoln, possibly from Sioux Falls. So that's just one office. And each of those offices combined, you're talking about a pool of inmates that we would be able to pull from to easily get probably 600-700 prisoners from there, because they all basically are trying to find places to move. So this is not a lot of beds in the big picture of things, but we have different avenues that we can get beds from.
Okay.
You have about a minute.
Okay. Thank you, Arlen, for your comments. I guess one of the things, the reasons we kind of held back on it was the first estimates we had in cost were 10.5 to 11.25 million. After we got the information back, it ended up being closer to $14 million, so we were a little cautious, and that's why the numbers, we haven't renegotiated the contract, because we're looking at higher numbers that we need to cash flow. Also, the annual cash flow on this project, as I mentioned before, doesn't really appear to go positive for 10 years, but if that's, you know, that's, so there's no... probably no real tax relief for at least 10 years is the way the cash flow works, because there's things that have to be paid for. That's just a information to clarify why we held back.
Okay. Sally Reinhart?
Hi, Sally. Long time no see.
I'll be back. Sally Reinert, Reinert, 729 200 Street, Dakota City. If I were sitting in your chair, I would be voting to move this project forward. However, I didn't come here to tell you what to do. What I would like to do tonight is share with you some of the history of the jail, because if you don't know what brought us to this point, how can you make a good decision going forward? I served on the jail advisory board at the time the current jail was about to open. And prior to its construction, we were outsourcing our prisoners at a great cost of county. So the jail was built so that we wouldn't have to do that anymore. As a cost-saving measure, only half of the proposed project was built with the idea that we would keep the old jail open. And that we did for several years. And after that, it had become so out of compliance, we had to do something. For instance, if there had been a fire, we could not have gotten prisoners out fast enough. So the county was really hanging out there liability-wise. So the decision was made at that point in time to close the old jail. Now, keep in mind, at that point, we had fewer beds for prisoners than we had ever intended to have. Now, I sat at commissioners' meetings week after week after week and listened to the numbers week after week after week. I will tell you that the more prisoners we were housing, the lower the per prisoner cost was. Now, we have certain prisoners we're going to have to house anyway, no problem. By having more prisoners, we defray some of our cost. I know some of you have some concerns about the contracts. You should see the last one. It was a half a cent sales tax, and since most of that revenue was going to be collected in South Sioux, because that's where our retail businesses are, we had to have a joint agreement between the county and the city. And this got tacked on, and that got tacked on, and something else got tacked on. And I think by the time we came to an agreement, nobody really totally understood what was in it. Now, with the sales tax, the money goes to the state, and then the state gives it back. And I can't remember what the time period was, if it was every month or every quarter. But there was one pay period that the county got nothing. Because they'd spent all the money on tips, and we were concerned. And we started doing what you're doing now. What if this, what if that? What if... In the end, the bond was paid off a year early. Now, it looks like you've got some room to still have some dialogue and possibly put some of your concerns to rest. But there's no such thing as an ironclad guarantee of anything. A giant piece of space debris could fall and hit the courthouse right now. Nothing's ironclad. But if you keep kicking this around and kicking this around, we're going to lose a very good opportunity for Dakota County, and I really hope you won't do that.
Thanks, Sally.
Thank you. Thank you, Sally.
Do you guys want to reply? Anything to reply?
One thing I would say is that our current jail does have about 40% excess capacity right now. So there is, I mean, that's probably one of the pieces. One piece of data that I would bring up here is, as I started looking at this, it appeared to me that we do have about 40% excess capacity in our current jail, and my thought process is, why don't we use that capacity? And that the Sheriff's Department jailers have done a great job of selling 20 to 30 beds for $500,000 to $600,000. So it just seemed like we had the capacity in my mind to get some positive cash flow without having to do a major addition. That's my
Tim.
I don't think that's true at all.
If Tim, real quick, if I may, I think at the last jail report wasn't it like 109? Okay, and there's and I've asked this question many times over years.
There it is.
Okay. Okay, here it is. Joan has it exactly. So it runs anywhere from 102, 114, 106, 104. Point is, you have to leave so many beds open, not for effects, but just for in case something happens.
Fresh arrest, yes.
Yes, exactly. So with 100, is it 138, 142? I should know this.
128 beds, and they've averaged about 70.
Wait,
you have to take away 8 for holding and 10 for a workers' dorm area, minus 18 right at the top.
Yep.
And when I left there right now, we had 33 open beds, minus 16 is I'm not good at math. Yeah, 17, that's nowhere near 40% of our 128 person capacity.
No, as you
I've
said.
I've got the whole 128, so yeah. Good point.
Yeah. Like Brandon was just saying to me when you were talking this, you know, I call over every day looking for bed space. Well, we have to keep, we give it to Brandon in a heartbeat, right? Because $80 a day, we're not going to, but we have to keep a few beds open. I mean, we have a rest.
Right.
This is a big county. It's one of the biggest counties in the state of Nebraska. I mean, when you look at 93 counties, and we're right across from Sioux City, you know, so we have to keep space open for those rests to happen daily for the patrol of the city, the county, which it happens. But I think we do a good job of selling the available space. And like I said, like Jacob pointed out, there's some of that space just doesn't count. I mean, it's work release, and we can't just put any prisoner in our work release area, and we can't keep all of our prisoners in, you know, those 8 holding cells. They count in our total capacity, but you can't leave somebody in holding.
Well, and then the other thing is, if you did take on more feds, and you had something happen major, and you had to bring in 10 people, then you got to get rid of those feds because those people come first.
And that happens. Yeah. That happens
right.
Quite a bit.
Right. What do you take, a local guy over to Sioux City? Or
no. No, because that costs us money.
Well, I know, but if we still get these fellows here to give us more guys, then we'd have more guys.
Well, if they're county inmates, it doesn't make any sense for us to house them anywhere else.
It's a temporary situation, I'm saying.
Yeah, I want to just, you know, Bob asked me that a while back. Why don't we get rid of all the county inmates, form them out, and get federal inmates because they pay better? And it's really a good idea, except for the problem is we have to transport them back and forth to court. If they have medical, we have to go deal with all that. So it's not very cost effective, right? That's why we have a jail with the capacity that we have, so.
I had to ask.
It's a good question, Bob.
Not only that, if you have county inmates from Dakota County here, you also want them to have their families available
sure.
for visitation and more for things that inmates need, whether you want them, no matter how you feel, guilty, not guilty, whatever.
Sure, because you're innocent until you're proven guilty, right?
Correct.
That's our motto in America. So those people, we shouldn't house our county inmates in Decatur, Washington County. I mean, that doesn't make any sense. So.
Martin Hohenstein.
I thought you said you were just stopping by to see what's going on.
No, I have a picture of it, put my name in on this.
All right.
Martin Hohenstein, Hohenstein. I get really nervous talking with people in my back, so I think I'm going to meander up here. Sally, thank you for the history of jails in Dakota County. I have a little history of jails in Dakota County myself. When I was 5 and a half years old, I went up to the South Sioux Police Department. At that time, my grandpa was a law enforcement officer, or a police officer for South Sioux City. I remember him putting handcuffs on me, letting me go in their little jail. They had a couple of cells in their jail at South Sioux Police Department. And at that time, that was adequate. Years later, before Russ and Larry, some of our great veterans we have here tonight, they always had the, where they would, in your class, they'd have government day. And at that time, I remember I ran for sheriff and my classmates elected me sheriff. And I went down and we went to the jail here, just down this hallway here. And there were 3 or 4 cells there. And at that time, that was adequate. Later on in the 80s, I went to college over at Wayne State. And for whatever reason, I decided I wanted to be a criminal justice major. And I came back, and I was offered an internship to work in the jail here. So I worked in the jail for Dakota County for a couple of years, and we were running 35, 40 people in our jail. And the jail we had was just barely adequate. We were always bumping up to the point, and had the commissioners at that time been a little bit more forward-thinking, we wouldn't have spent hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars having prisoners all over Nebraska when we were farming them out. Later on, I ran for county commissioner. At that time, it came back. We had a new jail. We had inmates, you know, anywhere, like you just said, you know, well over 100 inmates. We could house 115 realistically in that ballpark. And, you know, we're starting to bounce up to that. We have federal prisoners, which have been a godsend. But so that's kind of my history with the jail in Dakota County. When I first started as a commissioner, a few years in, the county was in a really, really dark time financially. There were meetings. None of these commissioners were here at that time. I had meetings with Joan. Bob was in on those meetings because at that time he was a county treasurer. And we were looking at borrowing money to make payroll in Dakota County. And as a new commissioner, that scared the hell out of me. We're coming in here. We don't have the money to do anything. We're looking to borrow money. And had we not had those federal prisoners at that time, we had 2 months to go till we started collecting taxes in May, and some people started paying early, and things went along, and we wound up not having to borrow that money. But at that time, the federal prisoners, they were a huge help to us, and I want to take just a second to say that the relationship that the Sheriff's Office has gotten with the Marshals Service, you know, they get nothing extra for that. They don't get paid a bonus if they house federal prisoners. During those times, we had a couple of wage freezes where these people worked without a raise for a year. Then they had a 2% raise, and they've always done a good job. And not just the people at the jail, the people in the courthouse. A lot of people have made a lot of sacrifices to work here in this county. And there's a loyalty there. Sometimes I ask myself why, because it hasn't always been the best place to work. And I think things are starting to turn. I just don't want to get back into the situation, you know, that we were in at that time. I have my tax statement here that I was digging through when I was looking up this here, and I'm gonna go back. One of the things that I've read in reading all of the board minutes too, they talked a little bit about, you know, the trend is to rehabilitate. That we're looking at rehabilitation. Maybe our jail numbers will go down. That was the same conversation that was had the morning after Cain killed Abel. And they have not found an adequate way to do that. And there are some people that need to come into jail, and they need to be put away so they don't, you know, mess with the people that are here. The back to my taxes. I feel like they're too high, just like everybody else. But when you talk about your taxes, there's a lots of things on that. And so I broke mine down. So if you have a house that's valued at just under $300,000, 22% of that goes to the commissioners to cover their bills. Everything else, you know, there's a lot of things that, you know, get paid, the schools, the veterans, the fire department, everything, but 22 cents out of every dollar. The one thing about the feds and the money that we get for... Is that offensive when I call you feds? Okay. Sorry about that. If it is. The one thing about their dollars, when the county makes a dollar off of them, they make a dollar off of them.
I'll let you finish.
Okay. And all right, I'll go. Just in closing, one of the articles I read talked, you know, made reference to the Field of Dreams. You know, if you build it, they will come. Well, I look at the worst case scenario. If we build it and they don't come, we get to keep their shiny new stadium right here in Dakota County that they paid for. And there's going to be a time where we need that jail. And if we have it sitting there, I know that concrete, steel, and plexiglass doesn't rot, so it'll be there when we're ready for it. Thank you.
Thanks, Marty.
So are you for it then?
I'm 100% for it.
Hey, one more question for you, Marty. Are you campaigning right now?
I'm not campaigning.
All right, fair statement, brother.
Hey, commissioners, you want to answer back?
No, well put, Marty, well put.
Oh, okay. Tim, did you want to speak?
Yeah.
Okay.
Tim Decker, Chief Deputy, Dakota County Sheriff's Office. I guess one of the things that we don't talk about, all these numbers are thrown out here, they're for the 85 beds, the guaranteed space, right? So all the numbers Joan, I think, puts together, kind of looks at the 85, the guaranteed. The numbers the numbers that get lost are the extra beds. We're talking about building 110 to 115 additional beds. So there's 25 beds right there. And if you start looking at the numbers for those extra 25 beds during that 30-month $150, I mean, that's $3.3 million in that time frame. We really need to look at the big picture, and I understand there's risk. There's no way to get around it. Anything you do is risky. I mean, I think as a law enforcement officer and all the ones that are here, we understand risk better than most people. So we understand the risk. I love that there's a lot of people here. Whether you're for or against it, I think you should come out and voice your opinion. I mean, that's your right. And but like I said, the 85 beds, that's the guarantee. There's another 25 beds in the new part. Not only that, we have the 25 beds we currently have federal inmates in. So you're looking at 40 to 50 beds available extra on top of this. And these guys, you know, they just said today they house 100. There's 130 inmates a day average in Sioux City. Well, what's 110 and 20? That's about 130. So it's a lot easier for them to house them here than it is to house them in where, I mean, they house them all over. They house them in Kansas, they house them in Colorado, Arizona. They want to house them here. That's why they want to spend this money here. They want to invest in this so they have a place to house them, you know. So it's something we should think about, you know. Besides that extra revenue, there's also commissary that falls by the wayside that we don't talk about. That's hundreds of thousands of dollars a year with those 120 inmates. I mean, there's a lot of extra money we're not talking about. And even with the 85 inmates, we've never addressed the commissary alone off that. That's a lot of money. That's guaranteed money that it's going to be here. Federal inmates spend a lot of money. And I don't know how, but they find it. And so they spend a lot of money in commissary.
Stimulus checks.
Thanks, Tim.
Yep. So 85 beds, what was the 85 beds? Were the 85 beds afterwards? Is that what you're talking about?
No, I'm saying we're talking about building 110 to 115 okay. bed jail, but we're only talking about 85 beds. That's what the marshals are guaranteed. There's 25 extra beds in this new jail that we would have to get revenue off of from the marshals, and the 20 to 25 beds that we currently have in our old portion of our jail that we could have. So we could have four potentially, you know, any number you look at that we've put out, you're looking at there's a possibility of having another 50% of that revenue.
Well, yeah, I just think the 85 beds isn't guaranteed, but it is.
The 85 beds is guaranteed for the first 30 months.
Oh, the first 30 months. Okay.
Yeah. And that number I gave you is if they would have beds in the first 30 months, if they would fill those beds.
I hear what you're saying. I was thinking after that. My fault.
And even after that, I mean, that's revenue for ever. The other thing I would say is a couple people mentioned it. Worst case scenario, we end up with a new jail and we don't have to front the money as taxpayers down the road. We can mothball the current jail, and that's the beauty of, I mean, I know it's been talked about in the past, it's costing Woodbury County so much to build a new jail. Well, yeah, of course, they're starting from scratch. We're using our existing jail, and the control center of it was designed to be added onto. So that's why it's not costing us as much money. But.
Thank you.
Any response from this table?
Okay. It'd be a new control center, though. I mean, the other facility has it's a control center too. The new one.
The main control center for the new addition is what we currently have.
Okay, I was thinking of that center council area.
That's the satellite, which we would get. It's a mirror of what we currently have.
Yeah,
but the main control center was designed so it sits.
Got it. Mm-hmm.
Operates them both. So.
Matt Hatterman.
Matt Hatterman, HATTERMANN, 511 Redbird Lane in South Sioux. I'm here speaking on behalf as president of the FOP Lodge 75, not the city, not the police department, FOP Lodge 75. We are for it, for the most part. The people that responded to my email was for it. I'm for it. Pretty much everything that everybody said here makes sense. All this county's growing, this city's growing. You're going to need this jail. You know, it's just a phase, it's just adding on. You don't build it from scratch like Woodbury County. These guys say that they're going to use it, they're going to use it. We say we're going to use it, we're going to use it. You know, by doing this, we're just kicking the can down the road. And we're going to end up paying for it as taxpayers. Just delaying the inevitable, whether it be 5 years, 10 years, 15 years from now, it's coming, whether we like it or not. And it is our opinion that let's just do it now, be done with it, use their money, our federal tax money, get it back here, and build it. And we'll fill it for you if you want us to, you know. That's our job. So that's all I have to say. Pretty much everybody's covered everything anyway.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
Thanks, Rob.
Comment? No? Okay. Bill McClarty?
Comment?
My name is William McClarty, McLarty. I live in Dakota County. First of all, I want to thank the board for taking this time to listen to what the community has to say and acting based upon what the feelings of the community is. I have here a newspaper from Don Ron Del Rio, Texas, the Epic Times. Basically, what I'm interested in here is the illegal traffic that's coming through. I'm not against people becoming citizens of the United States, but I think they should do it legally. But out of that, this is illegal crossing Mexico and the Texas border. Just between October 27th and November 2nd, 22,681 illegal immigrants in 1 week's time. Then the normal, this is normal for the last 3 months. This does not count the number that are not caught. Several, an example of the illegals, what they found on them. 48 were fugitives. 13 were gang members. 4,000 pounds of marijuana was taken. 669 pounds of meth was confiscated. 87 pounds of cocaine. 27 handguns was caught. And $188,000 in cash. During this 6 month period, every 3 months, every period, they found about $1.5 million three different times, so that's about $4.5 million that they found on these illegals. Illegals make about, other than Mexico, 68% of the people coming in are from other than Mexico. That's Cuba, North Korea, Iran, Syria, and 48 other countries. These illegals are being shipped to other parts of the state, of the states. That's where we come in. Nebraska and Dakota County are not exempt from this. I think there's things that you should consider, and what you're looking at right now is the crime increases as the population grows. That's a fact. An addition is needed to meet the crime increase. Federal government is willing to help Dakota County build a jail to meet the growing need. Woodbury County is also building a larger jail. Now, that you say that may not affect us, but it does. As they open up their new jail, they're going to need people to work and house and work in the jails. Where's a good place to look for those people? Dakota County. And when it does open, they'll be looking for new jailers. We have jailers here that we have trained. They're ready. They could easily accept that position. If they do, we would not have the jailers to run our jail. We would have to cut down on the number of inmates we have from the federal government and whatever. our inmates would be sent to other counties because we didn't have, we don't have, we cannot meet the standard for the state. So we'd have to send them elsewhere. We'd have to pay the total cost of housing them in other county jails. That's a loss. Basically, that's what I have to say. Is there any question you have for me?
Thank you, Bill.
Thank you, Bill.
Thank you.
Thank well you. Said, Bill. Thank you. Appreciate your comments.
I will point out one thing. I think building the jail on today's basis would be a lot cheaper than down the road when we have to add to it because the cost of everything is going up. Since you signed your contract, the price on those products that has to go into jail has increased terribly, mm-hmm. I'm sure. Thank you.
Yeah. That's been our stumbling block, those increased costs.
Denise, hungry?
So I'm Denise Kleinberg, K-L-E-I-N-B-E-R-G, and obviously I'm for the jail. So I just wanted to put that out there, but I've gone through the numbers with Chris, and I've looked at it, and I feel that it is a good opportunity for us. We're not going to lose out on a jail. It's always going to be an asset to us. We can always use it, and down the road, if we wait, somebody else is, we're going to have to pay for it instead of allowing our friends to pay for it for us. So the only thing I really have to ask the commissioners is you're getting a lot of input from people in the community. My question to you is, what are you going to do with it? Is it going to change your mind, or are you set in your ways? And, you know, this is just a show. I just want to make sure in my heart that what you're hearing from us, you're going to internalize and realize that that's what the community wants, that's what the county wants, and you're going to act in that regard and not in personal regards. So that's all I have to say.
Thank you, Denise.
Thank you.
Awesome. You can respond.
I just want to, at this point, add my two cents to the conversation. The board has obviously done a lot of, had a lot of discussions and have raised valid points on proceeding with the jail. We all have to determine by ourselves what's the best plan to go forward. Me personally, there's three things that I look at, and I have to cross those bridges to be able to do that. The first thing is things that could happen, okay? Like Sally says, the meteor could hit the courthouse. We wouldn't be here. And one of the things we discussed was the 120-day termination clause, okay? I think in a lot of projects, maybe not all, but there's an out, whether you're building a house, whether you're buying a car from Ireland, whatever you're doing, there might be a lemon law, there might be something where something could go wrong and you're going to get out of it. The second thing in my mind is the cost, okay? So the cost was roughly $11 million, whatever the first number is. Now, 13, whatever that may be, okay? The federal marshals have stated that they will pay for whatever the jail would cost, okay? They're not the ones that said initially that the jail is going to cost $11.5 million. It's the architect, okay? That's why there's been discussion about 30-month contract, extending a 36-month contract to cover those additional costs. And that's all still in play, okay? The last thing is the trust, okay? Whether we trust the federal marshals to keep their inmates in Dakota County after the jail is built. And I think they mentioned it in the meeting, and I go back to, why would they spend $12 million, $13 million, and not house them in Dakota County? It's insane. To me, it's insane. So those three things, I have, you know, decided in my mind that those are things that and that's why I am for the project. So.
Leo?
Leo Tortizill, T-O-R-T-I-C-I-L-L, 1323 Nottoway Road, Jackson. It turns out all my comments and questions have already been addressed, so I will not take up any more time other than to say I, as the majority of most of the people here, are definitely pro for the expansion. And thank you guys for following all this.
Thanks, Leo. Shirley Sides?
Yeah, that's what I really want to hear. This lady has the most knowledge with all of us combined in this room.
This is going to whap you all a good one. Okay, we're talking about the jail. But it's the people you put in it. When I look in the morning on this road, Myrtle Street right behind us, is semis driving up. And they're packed with food that feeds everybody you put in that jail. And you better feed them pretty well. And you better see to their, they are people. We are talking jail, rooms, everything. It's individuals that go in the jail. So you're feeding the people, and it's unbelievable when I see them load them up and come up. But I worked, I was a bailiff for, I was on mental health board for the state of Nebraska for years, and then bailiff for jury trials for many years here. And so when I talk about people, when you talk about someone that has a problem and they have a mental health problem and they go into that jail and you pay for the medical, that is a person. That isn't just that you're going to throw them in jail. You got a room that you got it done. No, you don't have it done. You have to recognize what you have done and who they are and how responsible you are on a lawsuit that someone has a mental problem and you have not handled it correctly. You have got your hands full. So when I'm listening, I'm thinking it's all the good points, but it is people. And you yourself know when you deal with anybody what you're doing when you meet someone. When you have addressed that problem and you've put them in the jail, they are yours to care for. I've said in a jury trial, you know, that person, you cannot pay off that mental health problem. So that's what you're not looking at, I think, is it's just get the rooms, get this all done. But you've got to address who you've done it to. And it's not that it is your problem when they go in, when you see, everyone should watch a trial, when you see a mental health problem, you feel so terribly sorry for that person. That has to be addressed and paid for because you have taken that person in. So I guess I'm sitting back there thinking, it's people you're dealing with. It's not just a can of paint. Or a meal. If you screw up their food and they're sick the next day and they sue you, that's all possible. So you want volume? You want to take care of more people than you do already? Maybe you don't have any problems over here. I can't. I'm just saying, take a look at all of it, because volume isn't always what is cracked up to be.
Good point.
I would agree.
So, thanks.
Comment to that.
Thank you.
So Shirley, you're fourth then, right?
I'll make a comment about that. I appreciate your comment, Shirley. As a matter of fact, that's some of the studies that I have done as well. And not that we have the statistics for our jail, but historically or statistically, about half the people that are jailed either have addiction problems,
yes,
or mental health problems.
Right.
And it really does hurt my heart that maybe they don't really belong in jail. They need assistance with their problems.
So are
their
you
problems.
Going to be handling it? Is the county going to be the volume?
Yeah, that's,
you know, maybe you're lucky, but I've been in, like I say, some...
That is a concern I have as well, because I do believe... I mean, bad guys do need to be in jail, but mm-hmm. if there's a way we can rehabilitate people and put them back to work and make them tax-paying citizens, I'm all for that.
But locking them up... And
very real.
They are people, mm-hmm. and so they have all kind of...
And I don't know how we screen there, but I do totally agree with you that if we could take half of our inmates and reform them and get them like taxpayers and jobs, I think work release, that's a huge piece that I think we need to look at a little bit more.
Yeah.
And rehabilitation programs. Yeah. Thank you.
I just want to respond to that. These federal inmates are pre-trial, pre-sentence inmates. So if they would have those issues, if they were sentenced or found guilty, that would be the marshals that would mm-hmm. take that. Once they're found guilty, they're going to the Bureau of Prisons, and they have that capacity to do that. If they would need to be taken out of our facility because they had issues, that would be the marshals. That's not us. That's not a cost to the county. That's not saying it's not a concern. I'm just saying it's not a cost to the county. So, and once again, I want to reiterate: these are pre-sentence. You know, these aren't prisoners. They're in the sense that they've been convicted and they're serving a sentence in the Dakota. This is still a jail, not a prison. So,
Jerry Seitz.
Well, my name is Jerry Sides, and I live. My name is Jerry Sides, and I just live right across the street from where you're going to build the thing. If you build it, they spit out the window a lot in my sidewalk. And I'm just wondering where you're going to park all these people and the visitors and stuff, and the people that work on them, because the parking lot gets pretty full right now, and there's no building on it. Wherever you're going to build that at, that's one of my concerns. I don't care whether they really build it or not, because if it don't work, I'm going to be dead now. I don't have to pay for it. And if you think people don't escape from it, you got another thing coming, because we've lived in that house since 1955, and that's 66, 7 years. And we've seen a few of them come out of the jail, even run across our backyard. Like the other day, I seen somebody looking for somebody with spotlights. And
you're looking for Shirley.
And if you don't think you're going to have trouble, you better think again. And I wanted to say something. This probably don't have nothing to do with this too much, but I wondered how many, and if you go back to 1950, how many people were in jail? I know, because I was the only one. It was Halloween night, and I got thrown in for up and set in old houses. And just, what have you got now? I mean, things have grown quite a bit. And that's probably about all I you know, I don't care one or the other.
You've changed your ways.
They can build it if they want it, you know. And the $37.50 ain't going to hurt my pocketbook anymore. So that part don't bother me. So I guess that's about all I can say for now.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jerry.
Thanks so much.
Congratulations to you and Shirley. 70 years of marriage, that's impressive.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, very impressive.
I have a roadie that signed. I'm not sure the first name.
Gail.
Did she leave?
Yeah. Her questions were answered already. She left.
Okay. Kevin, roadie.
Kevin Rohde, 2176 K Avenue. I just wanted to come here and talk. I've been through this once before when we had an overpopulated jail. It cost the county a lot of money that was just money going out. I watched us buy three new vehicles for another county because we buried our head in the sand at the time and refused to recognize the problem. We kept trying to say, no, we can keep dealing with it. We can keep dealing with it. And we couldn't. It cost us money, and we ended up having to build a new addition. And we had to do that because we were overpopulated. We were running somewhere over 100 prisoners, and that was in 2003. We can easily reach our capacity numbers now. We've done it. We've done it numerous times, and we can do it again. That tells me we need a new jail, or at least an addition, because we're already butting up to those numbers. We're a month and a half, 2 months away to having this place full. It's not that our crime rate has gone down and we've suddenly found room for the prisoners or for the marshal prisoners. We've had changes in the legislature where they have changed the law. Now, people aren't going to jail as much, but they still are. And it's just the natural flow of things. Our recidivism rate is high. We are going to see prisoners, and we're going to see more prisoners as time goes on and as the years go. We're going to see that. Now, I had to write a few things down. You said 10 years to see a profit. I think that's probably a pretty normal business plan. You're not going to see a profit right away. I mean, there are people here, we've taken risks. We've taken financial risks to get to the rewards we have. I think here, our risk far outweighs our reward. $600,000 is, what was that?
All right, go ahead, sorry.
$600,000 is what we're making. I mean, if I got the numbers right. That $600,000 goes away, you know, no big deal is what I'm hearing. We have TIFs that are coming up. Are these businesses required to end their TIFs? Or can they extend them? Okay, so they can still extend those TIFs. That's not money that we have guaranteed coming in. Just like this, this is a sticking point. Well, what happens if the marshals take their prisoners out? What happens if these businesses continue with their TIFs? We're still in the same boat. This, however, we've watched it. We've watched this relationship. You know, we had a stumbling point for a while where prisoners were removed. And that was, I believe, through a fault of our own. I believe that was our fault that those prisoners had to be removed. And what happened during that time? We watched this county decline financially. Just watched it decline. When we were able to build that relationship back up and get a little mutual trust going, we now have a better financial situation. But we're teetering on that brink. And if we lose this, we turn a blind eye to say, well, we might have some tax money coming in. We might have some money coming in from a casino. That's the same argument. You're making the argument that we might have future money. We've got future money. We've got them sitting right here. I mean, I don't like to break it down into that, but that's what it is. We've got money. Somebody willing to bring money into us right now. And what are we doing? We're burying our heads in the sand once again and saying, we can get by. We'll make do. Yeah, we might. What we've seen in the past, we don't. We had that. You talked about farming our prisoners out. I was around when we farmed 60 prisoners a day, 70 prisoners a day. I remember driving 4,000 miles in 3 weeks to take prisoners back and forth to court dates. Those were our prisoners, so we are responsible for that. We have a transport issue with the marshals, but it's not driving to Lincoln twice a day to get people for different court times. It's not driving to Cedar County. It's not driving to Rock County. We are driving across the bridge. That's all I have to say.
Thanks, Kevin.
Thank you, Kevin.
Thanks, Kevin.
Todd Hammer?
Ma'am, can I just say one
yes.
thing? I'm sorry.
Yes.
I heard, my name's Chris. I'm with the Marshals. I'm the chief deputy for the Northern District of Iowa. This topic keeps coming up about the what if we pull prisoners out. I want to go ahead and just kind of kibosh that. So this deal, the way this is structured, we have to, I am required to keep those inmates in that jail. We build it, if we give Dakota County whatever the number is, $12 million, $13 million, whatever that final number is, our organization requires us to use that facility. So that means if they, you know, 7 years in, 8 years in, until that agreement is expired, we will have to keep at least 85 inmates in that jail. So that's not an option for me to pull them out and go somewhere else. Even if the rate's cheaper somewhere else, it doesn't matter. I have to house them here. So same thing for Woodbury County. That's come up a couple times. Woodbury County doesn't have anything. We're not required to keep any inmates at Woodbury County. If we build a facility here, the majority of those inmates will be here. If we build it somewhere else, the majority of those inmates will go somewhere else. So that's basically the big piece. Yes?
The only question I have is, at the end of the 10 years, say at that point your census drops down to, you know, say 30 or 40, and then it's cost prohibitive for us to have that second wing open, do we have the same ability to get out at 120 days? Or, you know, and I would think we would, and I just wanted that answered because, you know, if you weren't keeping a large number of inmates there, it would be cost prohibitive to have them there. But, yeah, I just wanted that clarified. Thank you.
Yeah, so the 120-day thing has come up a couple of times, and we have thousands of these IGAs. They're called in, like, government agreements with jails across the country, thousands of them. Every single one has that same verbiage in it. It's the exact same thing. It's standard, basically cookie-cutter language to protect the county and to protect the government. It's on both sides. So if they don't want to do business with the government, they don't have to. They can pull out, too, just like anybody else.
Sure. Two quick questions. How long have you been in your position?
I've been here 2 years with the Marshals, and okay. I recently came here from our Washington, D.C. office, so I worked in the national office.
So you know what's going on.
Yes. I got a pretty good idea of right on. How the okay. sausage is made. So,
with that experience in mind, how many, if any, instances have occurred where the federal government had to shut down their housing operation at a specific jail that they agreed to stay for a specific amount of time?
Very few times. I would say less than five that I'm aware of, and most of those were because something was wrong at the jail. There was some jails that had, like, housing problems, like, so I think Shirley's her name, she mentioned. There's issues. We got to take care of our inmates in the prisons. If the water system's bad and prisoners are getting sick from lead and water, we probably shouldn't house inmates there. If there's asbestos, there's mold problems. There's, like, catastrophic problems with the structure. We can't house inmates there. So usually it's from the jails having issues that we have to pull.
So with ideal circumstances in the physical conditions of the jail mm-hmm. and the operations of the jail, how many times? Are you aware of any?
I'm not aware of any. If in ideal Thank situation. You. I can't think of a single time where we've stopped housing inmates at a place because we just didn't want to. I think one of the questions I got from the commissioners about crime over time, I looked up the numbers from our office here, just our office alone, from the late 90s till today, we've seen nothing but a rise in prisoners and increases. So we haven't lost any traction. It's not dependent on presidential appointees. It's not dependent on politics. There's always going to be murderers. There's always going to be rapists. There's always going to be bad people. Those bad people will end up in prison. And that's basically the job. So,
thank you.
Yes.
How many prisoners get put into federal marshal service a day?
A day here or like nationally?
Nationally.
We probably range somewhere about 60,000, 70,000.
I think it's 300 and some a day here in Nebraska.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's
going to the federal marshal service.
No, but not a day. We're not bringing
I think the U.S. Marshal Marines up here in Nebraska said they have about 415 a day.
Yeah, it's three.
They house about 415 a day in Nebraska.
Right.
According to Nebraska. These guys are U.S. the Northern District of Iowa.
Right.
That Nebraska is about 415 is what he said last time when he was here.
Gotcha. And that's not coming in every day. That's how many they house daily.
Right.
That's not new intakes every day.
Yeah.
That's a lot of people. We need more space if we did that.
Right.
I have a question for Kevin. Hey, Kevin.
He left.
No, he's right back there.
No.
You mentioned that we went through a rough spot. What happened in the rough spot? And we lost some volume or...
Can I shed a little light on that?
Okay.
Yes. Okay. This is basically what happened is the previous administration, meaning when I say administration, the sheriff, okay, had issues, okay? So then once they left, once they went away, Sheriff Kleinberg came on board. The board had a jail administrator.
Board of Corrections.
The Board of Corrections. We had a Board of Corrections, and we had a jail administrator. And that number, and Joan could probably pull it up, but those numbers were a million, million one, million two, and then they just depleted down to about 200. And that basically was because of the administrator and his relationship with the marshals. I think he just kind of pushed it off to the side is basically what happened. So then Sheriff Kleinberg, we dissolved the Board of Corrections, and Sheriff Kleinberg volunteered to take on the jail, and then the numbers proceeded to grow again.
So we didn't have a violation in our, because I know in Leavenworth they just had 150 people. They had to, something happened in Leavenworth, something about the jail there. The Nebraska marshal was here.
Oh,
that's a federal prison.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's the private prison. So that's something that's come up. So private prisons, there's been a lot of discussion about the privates. The private prisons are not are not for Iowa's use. We don't use them a lot. We typically only use them when we can't house them locally. So I will have to, if an inmate, I have nowhere to put them, the sheriff calls me tomorrow and says, Chris, I need you to get your inmates out. I'd have to basically charter an aircraft and fly them somewhere to the Colorado or Arizona, these private prisons that are much more expensive to house inmates. So those rates for those prisons, they have a lot of space, but they're very expensive and they're hard to get to. So it's very expensive for the taxpayer, so the government doesn't want to do that. The government wants to keep that money in the local governments, in the cities and the counties, and help generate revenues for basically the folks that are in the community, not private businesses.
So our situation...
large number of these type of agreements, but how many specifically have been entered into where the county built a new facility?
This is not a common occurrence. This is unique for the situation because of where.
Do you have a number?
I don't have an exact number for you, but I would say it's a relatively low number. Typically, the way we do this is it's called a cap agreement, which is basically we would write a check for, let's just say, the $15 million you mentioned earlier. Write a check for $15 million and say, build your facility. But if it's $16 million it costs you, that's you're going to eat that cost anyways. But the same terms agree. The same terms are in place. So if you build that facility, we're going to house inmates there. Still the same process. The only difference with this agreement is how the money started. But the final result of the agreement is still the same.
Marty, we have three more people that would like to talk. And then after they're done, then we can come back to the questions. Okay. Todd Hammer. No.
I thought I'd just sign up at the door.
No. If you don't want to say anything.
No.
Just sign up. Hey.
I will.
Todd, we want to hear from Todd.
HAMMER, 98 Gill Avenue. A lot of my questions have been answered already, but what I'm getting that I think is kind of came to me back there is we're acting like this is a new business that's coming in that nobody knows about. This has been going on for 15 years. These aren't new people. I've been here since the old jail, since day one with Brandon. My question is, and I'd like each commissioner to answer yes or no, are you content with the way it's been going for the last 15 years, for the money we've brought in, for the relationships we've had with the marshals? Has it been going good, yes or no? If it hasn't, I'd like to know why it hasn't. But this isn't new. We're not inventing anything new. These people have been here for a long time. They just want to continue being here, and they're just giving us another avenue to increase revenue. The inmates is just a hotel. These people aren't out in public. They won't be out in public. They're coming from Omaha. They're coming from Kansas City. They're staying in this little hotel. They're going across the river, getting sentenced, and they're getting on an airplane. These people don't live here. They're not staying here. Okay? It's going to be great for revenue. But my main point is it's not new. We're not reinventing the stone here.
So I'm going to start off if you want us to answer that question.
Yes, please. You need to come on. Yes,
and,
or no.
And I'm going to say I don't have an issue whatsoever. Okay? I did my prior 8 years, took 2 years off. I'm back on for 4 years, I think. Okay? All right? Okay, I know, but this is my point. I'm for it because of the fact that I was through the hardship years, okay, with the budgets and trying to make things work and trying to make sure that equipment for the road department and the sheriff's department. You know, when I came aboard in 11, you know, everything was wore out. And I think you remember that. I mean, the police cars, we were throwing good money at bad money. I mean, it was silly.
Yeah.
And so we ended up with a lot of new vehicles, and we spent a lot of money at the road department to get new equipment, et cetera, et cetera. But I've been through that hardship time. I know what it's all about. And I am totally for this project, and I have been since day one. And Sheriff Kleinberg expressed, and he explained it very well. I know he has a great relationship with the marshals, with Tim and all you people. And I think at the end of the day, I think we're missing the boat if we don't. Because, like I said, that's 600 grand, you know, or whatever you want to put, 600, 800 grand, we're going to miss out on. And that's going to go away. And I know Margaret made that comment. I mean, it's just, so that's my, you wanted to ask, I'm for it, I like it, I have no problem with these guys.
So without anything going forward, have you been content with the relationship we've had for the past 15
Negative.
Years with the marshals?
Negative. Yeah, I mean, yes. I mean, yeah. listen to me. Hold on a second there. Listen to me. I have a hard time hearing, okay?
But, yeah.
Vietnam War got me pretty good. But anyway, I'm not.
And I know a couple of these commissioners haven't been here a long time, so they really haven't seen everything evolve. So.
No, but I didn't hear exactly what you said. I thought you said, do I have an issue?
I'll just add one thing before I sit down. My office is right next to the captain's office in the jail. Every single morning at 9 o'clock in the morning, this man here in a gray suit calls the captain to ask if there's any beds available. He will fill every bed. Every day he calls at 9 o'clock and asks if there's any space.
This is my first year on the board.
Yes.
And, you know, we see you guys make money. We have a great sheriff's department. You know, I've had you guys come down and inspect my cars for years. Appreciate everything you've done for me. This is a financial thing for me. There's huge overruns, ask a lot of places that have done a lot of things in the construction. I'm just worried about the financials of the project, the money.
You're talking the future one. Have you been content with
the Yes. This one's, yes.
The old contract?
You guys have been good.
And the marshals. You're content with the way
what I know for the first year?
Okay.
It looks like you guys make money.
And I will respond as well. I've been very pleased with the revenue. It's truly helped us as we've gone along. Our biggest concern was the finances that, you know, went from 10.5 million to 14 probably. You know, we've been talking about renegotiating this. I'm even more interested after I hear this cap thing and maybe fronting the money so we don't have to borrow the money. So I guess that's where I'm trying to get my head around the finances, how the, you know, who's paying for it when.
Sure.
But I do totally appreciate what has transpired and just need to get our heads around how these escalated costs, and if there's ways to get it paid for on the front end. Okay.
I remember, are you done, Janet?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
I remember when Mike Robinette came and he explained to us, because he's an engineer, of how the at-risk contracts or at an advisor. Okay, and the at-risk is pretty much cut and dry. Okay, so if there's a contract, if they come down with a dollar amount that says, okay, it's 12.9 or 13 or 15 or whatever, that's what they got to go with. They are locked in at risk if that's what it's going to cost. So then it's cut and dry. Now, if you do as an advisor, when there's changes, then they got to keep coming back to the board and letting them know what the dollar amount and the changes are. So that becomes a problem for a contractor because it takes longer. And it runs time, the timeline out for these. So if you can find a contractor that's at risk that will work with an architect, you should be able to get a cut and dry price. Does that make sense, Chris?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. That's the big thing, the grand total.
Yes.
That concerns me. Because, I mean, I like that idea of the 13 or 14 million. My concern is, what happens if it goes to 18, you know?
If it goes 18, because this is the way that I see this. 85 beds are guaranteed at 150, either 32 or 36 months.
Yeah.
Okay? Right. Now, the marshals are willing to negotiate at the time of construction costs.
A little longer.
They're willing to look at 116 beds at 150, 32, which is 16, almost 17 million, or even 110 beds at 150 for the 32 or the 36, which is 18 to 16.
Those amounts are not what we propose. I think that's something that just kind of a best case.
Yeah, that was what I worked out with your.
Yeah,
that was kind of where that was set.
Gotcha. So those are options. It just, we don't know. We're only going on our national office is only going with what we thought the costs were going to be.
So if we come up, if we would get with an architect, get with the construction manager, get an exact cost, and if they're going to be at risk, and this is what the dollar amount is, you guys are willing to go ahead and go forward with that number.
We have to bring that back to the table. I just don't know what that number is. No one's ever really told us. You know, I saw the meeting minutes, and that's the first I've seen of, like, final.
I've heard a lot of different numbers, Chris.
Numbers. And it changes every, you know, every.
The longer we wait, the things will just keep going up.
Yes. So for me,
can I add something to that if I could interrupt real quick? Sorry I'm late, folks. I was on a transport.
Do you want to state your name and your address, please?
If you're poor. 1601.
That was what the construction management, the first part of that, when Mr. Ovenis, when you were asking for exact price, that's what that company does. And I know that because I was working with Blair when Blair just built their facility. And this is why, since the company they used. That's what led me to them. And that's who the architect used. So when I sat down with him, that's what that was about. Well, this initial part, when you guys denied that, that was the part where they gather all this information together and all the with the architects, the construction costs, and all that, and give you an exact amount. This is what it's going to cost. If it goes over this, it's what Scott's saying. That goes into another contract when it's getting built. So that was the part that was so crucial to you guys getting your questions answered about the exact cost and what it was going to be. And that's logistics. That's bringing in the concrete panels. That's the whole ball of wax. Even storing those panels somewhere so when they're ready for them, they can put them up. That's what that White's company does. It had nothing to do with who was building it. That's going to be local people. I told them, we want to use local contractors. We don't want people coming in from all over. If they can handle it, and White says, that's what we do. That's what our job is to keep it as local as possible. So that's what that part was. It's complicated if you haven't been.
That cost, at that time, the only cost I ever got was from 12 and a half to 13 and a half minutes.
Because we never got to that point, Mr. Obanesius.
We didn't hire it.
We didn't hire them. That's what they were here trying to get. We never got to that point.
Get to the concrete.
That was the next piece of that puzzle. And after that, then you guys would know this is exact cost. And that's when we go back to the marshals. If it was going to be an overrun or costs went up for something, that's when I go back and call back my contact that I had in D.C. that I worked this deal out with, along with you guys, and we negotiate that part of it. But
what Scott was talking about here a bit ago is what South Sioux is going to do down there on the sewer treatment plant. It sounds to me like, and it's going to be just what you said. It's going to be at-risk contract. See, and that's what Mike Robinette brought up at the meeting I wasn't at. But he said he kind of, and that's the way to go, but you don't work with one guy. You take three different people to put that price in there at risk. Because any extra overrun or something is a contractor fault or a problem, and they got to deal with it.
So that would have been the second part about this time of year. That's when White's come back with that exact cost. That's when that second contract started with them as the at-risk part. So we've got this cost. You guys got to stay in this cost. That's where that part comes in. That's what. That's the piece that, what's his name? Lives down the road from us.
Mike Robinette.
That's the part that he didn't have. So he couldn't tell you, he couldn't explain that to you because he didn't have that piece of it because we didn't get to that part yet.
No, you got to have a set of plans to do that.
And then you're right.
And we saw them plans tonight. They're right over there.
That's all rough. That was the initial stuff. That was all the initial stuff. We hadn't gotten
that's the original. That's the original, original.
Right.
For the building.
And that is right. And the addition is on that.
No. That's the original.
Where's the one for the addition?
Because the architect will not go forward unless you guys move forward.
I
was here when the jail was built back in 04, 05. I signed all the contracts. I negotiated with the feds. In all of them. I negotiated with contractors. I was there. Steve Davis and Jerry Johnson were the contractors, or Steve Davis was the architect. Jerry Johnson was the construction manager. They were a great team. You know, they put the jail together. They did an awesome job. I believe if you pulled that team back together, you'd get the same thing. As far as the blueprints are done, at that time, phase two was done. The plumbing is, and we actually piped the plumbing under the footings and are ready for that.
And that part of the project, that expansion, was also bid on. But it went over and put everything way over budget, so it wasn't done.
No, not really. We were only building phase one. We had cost projections for phase two, but we didn't plan on ever building phase two at that time. If we had money left over from phase one, we were going to put the footings in for the housing.
It had been bid as part of the main package, but deleted because of the cost.
I can't remember that, Larry, but yeah. That's possible. Right. I'm not going to argue that point. All I do know is that. In dealing with the federal marshals and stuff like that, when I was there, there was times when I thought, well, the money might not be appropriated right or whatever, but all those were put to rest. They were great to work with. I'm for building the second phase of the jail. I think as a county taxpayer, I'll take that risk. Of whatever that cost is, if something happens, but that's very unlikely that the Marshall system will ever pull out of anywhere. They might have an instance where funding doesn't come through for the big guys up in Washington, but eventually that's going to come through. It always does. When I first started here, getting back to what Scott said, there was instances where we were putting more money into vehicles at the county shed, and we could have replaced them with new. Same thing was going on here at the jail. When I first came here, we were in red ink so bad that we were outboarding $1 million a year, if not more, and it was getting worse. That's why I went to the city of South Sioux, got that half-cent sales tax going, did the interlocal agreement, put all that together, and we got what we got today. And there was a lot of things that were put into this new jail that were grass type things. You know, like the judge's room, there was things put in there. Just a lot of add-ons that didn't cost the county anything.
This phase has none of that. This is just bunks for our federal brothers. That's it. And I can tell you that when you talk about funding drying up, that doesn't dry up for inmates. That dries up for projects, for inmates. You always got to house your inmates. It's just like us, like Rick was just saying. It doesn't matter if we got a crack in jail or not. We got to house them somewhere. You guys are in the same boat as that. Has that ever dried up? Have you guys ever said, well, you can't house any more inmates, we don't have any more money?
No, that's never happened.
So you just got to let them all go now.
Yes.
So that's the leverage that Dakota County has on you guys.
Yes.
It's we're actually doing you a favor, in turn, getting revenue into the county that we desperately need.
That's
and
correct.
That's all I was doing when I was doing. We started with the CAPS program. Remember Brandon 2 years ago talking about the CAPS program?
It was more than two.
We've been working on this a long time, sir. I've talked out. I don't have much more to talk.
Folks, we have two more people that have signed up to talk.
I just want to bring one thing up. When we did the new phase, or phase one back in 05 and started that, we did several studies. And I don't know if you still have that Voorhees report.
I do.
But if you have that, you need to look at that Voorhees report because it actually laid out when this jail would be capacity. And I think that was, I want to say 15 years, wasn't it, Joan? That this jail would be capacity. So we're there.
Okay. Is Richard still here?
I am.
Okay. And then Rick, you're after Richard. Rick.
I'm done.
Okay.
Yeah, unless somebody has a question to ask us.
Okay.
I was here for the full total phase of that and how we farmed things out and how we built that jail.
Okay, Richard.
Well, first of all, I'd like to commend Janet and Troy and Mr. Albanicious about putting the brakes on this thing. And because it's done a tremendous amount of good to date. The first contract that was given the county was a piece of shit. And we've all seen the results of your efforts and saying, whoa, wait a minute, we're not going to be led down this road. Because now what are we looking at? We're looking at the estimated construction costs have gone up several million dollars, which underneath the first contract, the guarantee wouldn't even have covered. And we're now looking at, according to Jones' agenda here, the Fed's coming back in and saying, well, we're willing to negotiate that $150 guarantee up to $19 million, which I think personally is a more realistic figure for building this jail. I think if you're thinking that you're going to build it for $13.5 million, you're sorely mistaken. I think if you think you're going to build it in a year, you're sorely mistaken. I've talked to several of my clients who are in construction, and they're all saying there's no way. Not with the supply chain problems that this country is experiencing right now. There's in two. Future questions that may be addressed. I know there was a soil sample done. I believe that there's some serious dirt work that needs to be done out there. Talked to some dirt clients of mine, or dirt moving clients of mine, and they're thinking $200,000 to $300,000. I'd like to know if that's included in that $13 million. It says owner provide furniture. Is that included in that $13 million? I don't know. I mean, furniture, furnishings, and fixtures, and that type of thing, and the equipment that's going to go into this facility is not going to be cheap. It's going to have to be by jail standards. And you're not going to buy that at the local Walmart and put it in there. We've got parking problems out there. Where's the estimates for putting in a new parking lot? And what type of parking lot are you going to need? That could run into a half a million dollars. And I'm looking at this and I'm saying, okay, we got all of these expenses that once we contract for these, they're there. They don't go away. We're on the hook. And then we got a contract here that has a clause in it that says the federal government can walk away on 120 days notice. So we build a $20 million jail for them, and I'm not arguing with these men's integrity. I think they have the best intentions, and I don't foresee this happening. But it's there. Take it out. Renegotiate that. Federal Marshal said this is a unique situation. These contracts haven't been entered into very often. Well, they're using boilerplate. It's in all the contracts. Don't worry about it. It's just the boilerplate. Well, if I had
$10 from every client from 1983, excuse me, that's come into my office that are complaining about a breach of a contract on the other side and say, oh, well, they told me that clause was just boilerplate. I didn't have to worry about it. I only retired years ago. I said, once you sign that contract, all the puffing that led to the entry of that contract is no longer evidence in a trial. That is the four corners of the contract. The document controls, and it says right here, the federal government can walk away from this deal at any time in 120 days, and then we're stuck holding it. I agree with you, Larry. I'd feel a lot more comfortable if they just wrote us a check for whatever the construction cost is. Then if they walk away, I mean, we might get stuck with some overreach. But doing it this way is terrible. And I commend you, Janet, for coming back and saying, I've analyzed this, and there's not going to be any positive cash flow for almost 10 years. Well, doesn't that mean that the current income that is coming into our jail goes away? All of that and more is going to go to retiring the debt service that we're taking at risk here. Which, you know, I've heard several times today, okay, worst case scenario, we get a free jail. No. That is not worst case scenario. Worst case scenario is that we end up getting stuck with a $19, $20 million jail with no way to pay for it.
All right, we're going to let the commissioners reply back to you.
I just had one other little short thing, and that is, sir, I am one of the people that Troy Lonsby reached out to.
I'm not. No, your time's up, sir.
If you would like to discuss it with me, I'd be happy to.
Your time's up. Okay, do you guys have, do you want to reply?
Thanks, Rich.
Thank you. That is one of the cash flow, I guess, that's why we need to look at the contract a little closer, just so we can verify the...
They need to hear you.
Oh, okay.
Can I ask one question?
Just give me a minute, Brian. They're replying back to this, and then we'll bring Janet.
Yeah, like I said, that's probably been probably one of the things that I feel I've heard here today is that we can make some adjustments for sure. But I am a little concerned because the cash flow doesn't really go positive for about 10 years on the way it currently is set up. But I've heard from several people there. I like Marty's comment about the stadium. and the cap fund. That intrigued to me as well, the upfront money.
Anybody else? Okay. So that was the end of the people that have signed up to talk. Brian, I'll give you a chance now.
Brian Ellinger, ELLINGER. So I have one question, and that's for Joan. So if they do not agree to this contract, the marshals are going to pull 80% of their current federal inmates that we currently house out. Is that correct, guys?
That's correct.
And that'll be a loss in revenue of $400,000 to $600,000 a year. And with that being said, can the county handle that hit, Joan?
For a year or two. I mean,
you made the comment in a public meeting that the county would be broke in 6 months.
No.
She said a year or two.
Did she say a year or two? Okay. My bad, Joan. But so it makes no sense to me that why would you want to kick a gifted horse in the mouth when they're saying, we're going to incur all costs associated with construction of this jail at no cost to the taxpayers of this county? And yes, eventually, it will bring in a lot of revenue. I think Joan had on her sheet figured at 110 at 80 bucks a day. Within 10 years, that's $32 million this county would bring in. Them are good numbers. There's no risk here. Joan even said that. There's no risk.
I did do another spreadsheet today. Janet and I kind of worked on it and looked at it. Here it
110 inmates at $150 a day times 365, that's $6,022,500 a year. I heard we could do 116. I heard we could do another 20. That's 155. That's $8 million. So maybe there's our cash flow.
I guess we were looking at that.
If we fill it up.
Well, crime's not going down.
They're telling me that we can do that.
Yeah, absolutely.
$1.8 million is the estimated expenses. So then that left $4 million in a net revenue. We would have a bond payment. We have a bond. They gave us some bond figures for $12 million, so that's what I used. I stuck at the $12 million. We would have a bond payment. That would be our third interest payment for $155,000. That we would have $4 million then to set aside for the principal. We would carry that over to the next year, $4 million. We would have another $6 million to $8 million the next year. So then you would have a little more expenses. I added 3% cost increase each year. So then we're at $1.8 million in expenses. That gives us a net revenue of $8 million, $8 to $10 million. We have a bond payment of $2 million. So there we are with $6 million. I carried that forward to the next year. I carried it all the way out to 2032. We can easily do the cash flow. We can do a 9-year bond. We can cash flow it. I don't see a problem with that. I was conservative in the revenue, I think, because I didn't figure commissary. I didn't figure travel. This is just, and now they're telling me they can do more beds. In 2031, we would still be at the $3 million. So we're still at the, I still have three. If we did the 155 beds, if we kept them full, it could be $5 million. There's our cash flow, because I had $3 million in 2031 with 2.7 in expenses. If I figured 3%, 3% on top of 3%, we had a net revenue of 2.8 because I carried forward. So, operating expenses would have been $2.2 million, and we would have had a Marshall revenue of $3.2 million, and that's figuring at 110 inmates. That's not figuring at 115 or add that other 20 beds, 150. It's doable. The figures are there. But it will take a little while if we take that revenue and if we apply it to the principal and apply it to the interest. It's going to be 6 to 7 years before.
Yeah, that's understandable.
Because she has 2 years on just interest only as building is
right.
And then in 2025, and then it becomes principal and interest is what happens.
I talked to our bond people. They said they'll be very flexible with us.
So is the interest rate still under 1%?
Right now, let's see. What do you have that at, John? I don't see it. I've seen the dollar amount. It was $945,000 over the.
So that's still under 1%.
Yeah.
But yeah. In a month or two, is that interest rate still going to be that low?
They told me it would be for a short-term loan.
Is that short-term to them?
Five was. We were looking at doing a 5-year loan with a balloon payment. I don't think we can cash flow that because we have close to $5 million in operating expenses over that 30 months.
Well, and that's understandable. And I guess my point is, if we don't do this, we're losing all that revenue, and then if we do it, the federal marshal's sitting right here. They're saying they can put people in that thing. So.
And the other thing that I want to point out, when these numbers are put together by Joan Spencer, okay, I don't know, I think Rick left, but anyway, she's the most conservative person
yes.
when it comes
yeah,
to numbers.
I understand that. I promise you. I've known Joan for a long time.
I know, and I have too. But yeah, there's no fluff here.
Right.
No. I mean, she's
the numbers speak for themselves,
right,
basically.
Right.
Scott. That's all I got.
Hey, thanks, Ellinger.
My feelings on the situation, you know, there's just us board members that are going to make the decision on this, I guess, but I really think that every person in this county should vote on this. Yes. This should go to a public vote. There's no reason that our commissioners should make the decision for everybody. We shouldn't have that weight on our shoulders. This should go to a public vote. And there's no reason we can't do this.
But unfortunately,
whoa.
January 11th to make an answer.
Oh, yeah, and I was just going to comment on with Joan. We worked on that spreadsheet a little bit. That was based on, I think, $12 million, which is a little on the low side, and it does not cash flow until about 10 years. I mean, there's not going to be taxpayer relief, I guess. When I was originally working on this, my thought process was I was thinking the cash, there would be millions of dollars right off the bat, but it certainly doesn't even happen until at least 10 years out, because all the cash flow is going to be for debt reduction, operating expenses, that sort of thing. But yeah, that's probably there's a delay. And 110 beds, honestly, that's 95% of the current facility or the new proposed facility's capacity. And we've never been at 95% in our current jail. So it's probably a little bit optimistic, but you know, now that I never wasn't thinking about the extra space in the other jail.
Well, it's not really optimistic because we're building it because they want it.
But you say that's normally not what you would do is go to that much capacity for one reason or another.
Okay. The new beds are new beds. If you take the 20 federal inmates out of our current facility, you now have 20 extra beds. We already told you we keep 15 beds open. Now the phase one part has a plethora of space. The new part, of course, we'll fill that with feds if they want inmates in there. Why wouldn't we? We're still going to have, even if you didn't fill the 20 that you took out, you're still going to have a plethora. I mean, I'm thinking you could put 10 to 20 more where the current feds are,
easy,
plus the 110, or just the 115, depending on what size.
That's not counting our ICE or anything. And you guys, I got to tell you something. It's not, when Mr. Lonsby calls other counties, I don't know what counties he called, but for a sheriff to want to do this, you guys know this. What sheriff wants to take on that extra responsibility? Because, you know, actually what that does is that just stresses out my staff more, dealing with federal inmates and county inmates. But my staff is willing to do it. We're all willing to do it. We've been doing it. And Brandon, you can attest to that. I do transports for you. A lot of sheriffs will tell you we don't do that because just like Douglas County did, just like he did. He got overwhelmed with federal inmates. And he was dealing with more federal inmates than he was dealing with his own inmates. And he didn't have to do that because they're not in the financial crunch that Dakota County's always in. That's the whole thing of this. We don't have to house federal inmates. We don't have to house any other inmates than what our judges tell us to house, which is our county inmates. There's no revenue in that. It's just cost. But since I've been here for the decade or so that we've been here, it's been a thing with Joan and with all of us, with Scott and even Bob that's been here that long. Everything we can do to save a dime, that's what we do. If we can bring in more inmates, the only contract I turned down was with the BIA. Because that wasn't something I could count on, because I dealt with the BIA in Thurston County, and it was iffy if you got paid or not sometimes. If you didn't get the bills in the right time, I think they still owe Thurston County $7,000-$8,000. So I didn't do a deal with the BIA because we have the marshals. And I guarantee we never had a problem with you guys. It's never been an issue getting paid from you guys. As far as Mr. Trammer says about the contracts, it's the contracts we run on right now. That's what you're referring to when we talk about other contracts. We've been running on these contracts for the last 6 years that I've been running the jail. They say the same thing. The 120-day clause is to protect you folks from all of a sudden us going, we don't want those guys here no more, get them out of here. It's going to take you that long to find places to put them. So I just want everyone to know that that's the the underlying thing here. It's my staff that makes this possible. It's the jailers and the deputies that all pitch in, everybody pitching in and dealing with the feds and the ICE and all that. Because quite honestly, I don't got to do any of it. I could just skate just like the rest of these sheriffs do and say, I don't want nothing to do with those guys. Yes, sir.
Sheriff, the Marshal Service here represents what region?
Just Iowa.
Northern District of Iowa.
Northern District of Iowa.
So, say we have the jail built and they are able to put their 85 people in there. Do you believe, have you been contacted by
already.
South Dakota? Have you been contacted by Nebraska? Do you think that there would be other people wanting to house at your new facility?
The Nebraska U.S. Marshal was that. Was that our last meeting, I think. And I asked him specifically, if we had 25 beds open today, would you fill them? Yes. The answer was absolutely.
I'm the supervisor in the Sioux City office. I'm the one that calls Captain Nelson every morning at 9 o'clock asking him if he's got room for prisoners for me every day. I've been in contact a couple of times in the past 3 weeks with my counterpart in Omaha, the supervisor down there, asking me if I have extra space available in any of my jails that they can use. One of the jails, right now, I'm housing prisoners in, it's 10 or 11 facilities in 4 different states. All of them prisoners have another court hearing at some point in the future in Sioux City, Iowa. So if they're in Kansas, I have to go to Kansas to bring them back to Iowa. I would much rather come to Dakota City than to Leavenworth, Kansas, or to Minneapolis, Minnesota, or to even in our own district, Hardin County, which is over by Waterloo. That's a 3-hour one way. That's a 6-hour round trip to get a prisoner for a 15-minute hearing.
And Nebraska currently houses inmates. Omaha sends inmates to Hardin County, Iowa, because they have nowhere to go.
Because they're desperate. And also, I talked to some other sheriffs. They're using Hall County, because Hall County's ICE stuff is just getting flaky, and there's a new sheriff, and he don't want to deal with it.
Yes.
And I heard Scott's Bluff. They're driving clear out to Scott's Bluff now.
Yeah.
So I think if the more beds you have available for the government to utilize, the easier it is for us to fill it up. So if you got 150 beds, fantastic. Then I don't think we'll have any issue putting 150 people here.
And keeping them here until
their court dates. So for us, we're not concerned about putting prisoners here. It's very cost ineffective to ship people to 4 different states and moving them back and forth. It's very heavy on logistics for my staff has to spend a lot of time. It's a lot of invoices. That's 12 different invoices from 12 different sheriff's offices, from 12 different jails, 12 different hospital bills, 12 different, all these different things come in. We're trying to minimize that and consolidate. That's the main reason behind that.
And one of the things that's a detriment to this county, we deal with Sioux City. Half of our inmates are from across the river. So we're a small county with a small tax base, but still we have to deal with larger stuff with agencies that have 4 or 5 times the people we got. But the upside to that in this case is we got 3 states. We got 3 districts of 3 states, and we're centrally located right here. It's like a central warehouse for pretrial federal inmates. And it's you know, if you're a farmer and you're looking at housing cattle at a feedlot, you don't want to drive your cattle like they're doing, and kind of that's how I look at it. I don't know, maybe I was living here too long, but that's kind of how I think about it.
Can I ask you a question in regards to, you know, there's a lot of angst and stuff about financing and stuff, and I'm a pretty conservative guy, and I'm going to look under every rock and everything else. The thing that I haven't heard that satisfies me yet is that I'm not naive enough to believe that this project wasn't floated around the tri-state area.
Was it?
It was not.
I was the first one on this.
Which then leads me to believe, then, if you're looking at Dakota County, and maybe it's the relationship that you have with the sheriff's department, so in lieu of the fact that you're going to be taking inmates to court in Sioux City, and Sioux City, Woodbury County is building a jail, why is that not as attractive as it is here?
Because we've already done a deal like this with Woodbury County many years ago.
Okay.
So we've done deals like these with other county jails. And the government is looking at not just benefiting Sioux City, Iowa. They have to also deal with Omaha. Omaha's the big gorilla in the room for inmates in this area. So this is closer to Omaha, easier for Omaha to have inmates come here than to just go across the river for their people, their transport people, their personnel on their side.
Okay.
So it benefits us. It benefits Nebraska. It benefits South Dakota. And this was a central place. So they ran all the numbers and pulled all the inmates and looked at all the logistics and all the travel and all the time and all that they basically put in a grid and said, basically, these two places are the best options. One of them has already had an agreement that we've given money in the past, and the other one we have not. And that's why we're at
it. I'm sure it has something to do with what you said. Not every sheriff's department is receptive to doing what you're doing.
And the beauty of here is, just like Rick said, and Bill, my father-in-law, he was involved with that jail also. We were already ready to go with this. I mean, there was a lot of things that were done in the room that we could just put this up. And it's not going to affect Dakota City parking or anything. You guys aren't going to be affected by it. As far as what Trammer was suggesting, yes, there's parking added into this. That's all built into it. All the furnishings, all that stuff is in it. But again, you're talking about numbers that you can't possibly talk about because we haven't got to the point where they're going to give us that concrete number. So that's all speculation. It's all speculation.
You said earlier that on some of these contracts that you've been willing to write them a check to build it, and then I imagine after that check is written and the building is complete, then it's at that lower rate from then on.
That's correct.
Okay, so if we determine an amount that was acceptable for us to write us a check, build the jail, then that would be something that you'd be willing to negotiate.
That won't happen. I can tell you right now.
I can guarantee you that won't
happen. Yeah, that won't happen. So we tried that already, and the reason why that won't happen is cap money is controlled by Congress. That's not a decision that the Marshal Service makes. If Congress decides how much money is available for that, that's not going to happen.
Okay, were you aware that South Sioux City entered into kind of a similar agreement with the federal government and bought a large portion of farm ground to house a federal data storage center?
Spent a fortune
bringing the land up to date, up to grade, and there is no federal data center out there. They walked, and we got stuck with it.
Yeah, we still have prisoners.
I understand they still have data storage.
All the computers in the world can shut down. We're still going to have prisoners.
Still got prisoners. That could have happened, but that's not.
It did happen.
That's something that the Marshal Service has nothing to
do with. I understand that. But I mean, that's
all right. All right. We're going to keep. Excuse me. Okay. Everybody has spoke that wrote down their names. Does anybody else in the room have a question? Chris?
Yes. More of a comment.
Okay.
Chris Chernock. I live at 412 Dixon Path in South Sioux, outside of South Sioux City. I think everything that there is to say has been said. I don't think there's anybody at this table that's against this idea. I think there's people that are sitting at the table that have questions. And because of their unanswered questions, they give the vibe that they're against the project. There's nobody in this room, I truly believe, that is against the improvements, the expansion. Having said that, I think that there's also been identified areas of knowledge that needs to be put in place. You need to learn. You know, you've raised the questions. Now you need to learn. You need to find out. You need to call the people that need to be called together to negotiate these points out. I think that's a given, that's been identified by just what's happened here tonight. And as far as calling for a vote, we voted. We put you in that office. That's your job, okay? That's your job. And that's your responsibility. Unfortunately, on this one, you need to find out what you need to know. What you want to know, you need to find out, and then make a good decision. Make a good vote. That's all I have to say.
Not to interrupt you, sir. This contract has already been signed. We've already been collecting the money for this. They signed this contract when I took it to them in the beginning. I didn't expect that. I expected them to table it, but they didn't. They all agreed to it and signed it. That set off our per diem being increased from the U.S. Marshals, and that also set off getting the
the architects to start with their stuff. How much did it cost us to back out of the architect after we've already signed that? Didn't that cost us a couple hundred grand?
We haven't backed out yet.
We haven't backed out yet. Well, that's what it will cost. So with all this being said, Mr. Cameron, they've already signed the contract.
It was represented to the board that they could back out of it any time, and the contract was needed to be signed.
So the contract was signed, and it stopped set all these people in motion to do months worth of work at all this expense, and now they want to back out.
And I want you to know something. I am not against this expansion. I think it's a great idea. What I'm against is the contract.
With every good thing, there's a contract.
No, and I can tell you,
I said before, in all the years I've been in jail business, I would not enter a contract with the Department of Interior.
And I'm not doubting you, and I applaud the work that you put into this. I think you put in a tremendous amount of work, and yes, does it have a huge upside potential. However, there's also a huge downside, catastrophic possibility.
Chris.
And to say it doesn't
exist, it's crazy. There's no revenue coming into
the same thing happened on the federal data center. We stuck millions into that project, and the feds walked on a whim.
All right. We're going to move on. We're going to move on. Penny?
Do you guys have any more questions for me as the sheriff?
Chris, that contract.
I've been driving since 5 o'clock this morning.
The U.S. Marshals contract and the...
Janet, hang on. And the, does anybody have questions for the sheriff? He is asking.
He's doing a good job.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Penny. Quick.
Penny Efting. I work for the sheriff's office. I've been here 18 plus years. I am a sergeant on the road. I will say that I have been involved in the federal marshal transports multiple times. We have never had any issues. As far as, and I'm going to direct it to you, Rich. You say there's a catastrophic downside. What is the catastrophic downside if we don't build and we need a jail in the future? Is it not going to cost us more money than what it does now?
If we contract for a $15 million jail and the feds in 6 months decide to take a walk for whatever reason underneath their escape clause, are you going to pay for the $15 million jail?
No, well,
who's going to?
Because I'm here. Who's going to pay for it in another 10 years when we need it?
You don't know.
All of us.
Number one.
All of us.
One,
at a higher cost.
If you don't have the federal prisoners there.
All right. All right. We're not going to sit here and argue.
That's it.
Okay.
That's it.
Yep. We're not going to sit here and argue about it.
We keep talking positive.
There isn't an argument.
We keep talking positive. Right. And we're not going to be in the positive for 10 years. Okay? In 10 years, and we need another jail or we need the expansion built. Where's the positive there? There isn't any.
Where's the positive in
we're going,
when we lose
us,
all the revenue?
Yeah, not only do we lose the revenue, but we're still going to be paying for this new jail as taxpayers. Where's the downside, guys? Take the risk. Don't pay for it. Don't have to pay for it. If we do pay for it, we're going to pay for it one way or another, either right now, if they would fail, or later. We're going to pay for it. I mean, it's nonsense. Really, it is.
One thing.
Guys.
I just like to
calm.
If you want to go to a public vote, we have to get them a number, and we don't have that number. So if you're going to do that, which I'm 100% fine with, then you guys are going to need to vote to move forward with the construction management so we can get them the hard number. Because without it, we can't. So if you're saying that's what you want, you got to vote yes to get to that. I'm not saying you have to build the jail. What I'm saying is you got to get to that point. And that's where I've been disappointed. We haven't got to that. Let's get the solid number. And if we can't do it, we can't do it. But we've taken it. We've gotten it a long ways. Let's get it to the solid number. And then if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. But we can't take it to people. You can't ask me to vote on something when I don't know what the amount is. So I would just... encourage you to let's at least get to that dollar figure. So if we do decide to take it to the people to vote, we can't just take the number we pull out of the air.
Well, the 25 grand that they wanted is a third or less. It's less than a third of the money than what the architects already charged.
Correct. Is it what is it? 26,000. 25,000. So.
Okay.
Yeah,
Janet, are you?
I just wanted to clarify about the contracts. I know there's been a lot of controversy about the contracts that we signed, but that was part of the process. In August, when this came at us, we too thought it was something we definitely wanted to investigate. So we signed the contract to get the extra revenue that Chris mentioned so we could do the research. There are various steps in that. If we, you know, get to that, then you can bill for the 30 months. And, I mean, we did the first step in that contract. The second contract was the architect, because when we did the research, the important thing was we needed to go to the architect and have those jail standards reviewed, have the layouts reviewed, because it's been a long time. How does it tie together? Ventilation, COVID, HVAC systems. So the contracts were signed because we wanted to do the due diligence. And that's where, and we're kind of about a third of the way through each of those contracts at this point doing the research. So that's some background there.
Marty and Kevin, you both, Marty first, Kevin next.
Yeah, I just have a couple of comments. First of all, I think this is a great cross-section of Dakota County. Commend you all for coming out and sitting through this meeting. Secondly, Bob and Troy both said, you know, we'll take the information and we'll go back and make the decision. It's kind of a, when I think back to my civics lesson, I mean, the commissioners represent the county. It's not just their decision. It's the decision of the people they're representing. So I hope they think about that when they sit down and decide if they're going to go forward with this, if they're really representing the people of Dakota County or if it's their own decision. And I don't think there's nothing wrong with a board that's divided. I think a board that votes the same every time is not worth having. So I think you guys are doing a good job feeling it out, and I hope you come up with the decision to move forward.
Kevin?
If this were to go to a
Can't hear you, Kevin. You got to speak louder.
If this were going to go to a public vote, when would that happen? What's the fastest?
You have to have it certified to me by March 1.
Okay.
March 1.
Then it would be when?
And then it would be a whole year.
At the primary?
No, at the primary.
May?
If you certify it to me by March 1.
Is there a requirement of a public vote if a bond is going to be issued?
No.
Not this one.
No.
Usually for jail or courthouse there is.
But not this one, correct?
Well, that's where I think.
It's been clarified. You don't need one.
But if you take it to the lawyer, are you guys going to? You're not going to be sitting here waiting for it.
So
that's
okay.
What I was going to say.
Okay, go ahead, sir.
Yeah, that's an important piece. I have a need. 5 years ago,
right.
We're trying to fill it now. If Dakota County doesn't feel comfortable moving forward, I have sheriffs calling me as we speak about getting opportunities to take this, and they're ready to pull the trigger to move the next day. So, unfortunately, that's where it's not a punishment thing if we have to shift our inmates out of here. It's just a simple, I got to put people places today.
Well, it's a business decision.
It's a business decision.
And what's,
you have
the,
to
date?
Watch out
so,
the,
what's the date that they have to have moved forward on?
I got
to
give a report back to headquarters on Monday.
What I think should happen is Monday we meet on the 10th. And I can't set the agenda because I'm not the chair, but I would highly recommend to put it on the agenda and move forward on this. Because I've made the comment, if you guys read about me in the paper, I made the comment that it didn't matter if I was at the post office or where I was at. If we ever talked about this again, I was not going to be there. Because I felt that we were wasting time, people's time, and coming from Omaha, wasting everyone's time that was coming there because it was going nowhere. So I think on Monday, I would recommend the 10th that we make a decision, and then you guys can go about your business, because you're not going to wait around forever.
No.
You can't.
No, I mean, we're trying to work with you all as best. I come to the meetings. I've been here a couple times to answer whatever questions. I try to facilitate whatever information they need. If I can't answer it, I'll get my general counsel to answer it. So we'll get you the answers that they've asked, the questions that they've asked. But I have a need today. Our population is picking back up. People are getting arrested. You know, once the summertime hits, we're going to probably get more inmates again. So I have to house people. So basically, I have basement until next week to come up with a decision.
So the decision Monday, when would you pull the inmates out? When would you pull these 20 out?
When I have a place to put them. So the inmates aren't going to get pulled out immediately. So that's basically, if whoever gets this agreement, if it doesn't stay here, once that other place builds the facility and has the space, on day one, we're going to pull all inmates there. We could.
No.
120 days.
Well, so let me clarify something on the 120 days. The 120 day thing doesn't mean we have to house inmates here. That's to cancel the agreement. So,
no, I understand. Yeah. I'm just saying, if they don't move forward for this,
yes,
and you are taking them out. I mean, a lot of this is, I live in Woodbury County, but I work in Dakota County. I'm very loyal to my job. I've been here for 10 years. We have a great relationship with them. Actually, Dakota County should feel privileged that they're coming to Dakota County.
I do.
There's a lot of it right there.
All right.
You guys don't work in the jail. We see it. We deal with the inmates. We come to our job, our risk. Now you guys are actually risking to, in 10 years, everything dry up.
Okay.
And you have to go loan money to make payroll. What do you think that's going to do? You're going to get your rating points to me.
Loyalty only goes so far.
Y'all have any other questions for me?
I have one comment. I just boxed it.
If we have, are you, Arlen, did you?
I think we've got a good variety or a mix of people here tonight from all over Dakota County, not just South Sioux City. And I felt like watching the people and looking at them, I think they all felt the same, that they'd like to get this thing going. And I appreciate what the commissioners are going through, too. But I know Troy said we ought to have a big vote on it. Well, I think we voted on the people that were here tonight. I don't think there was anybody that said no that I saw. Did anybody see anybody that said no?
I think Shirley was a little bit,
okay.
On the fence. Her husband didn't care. Her husband didn't care.
No.
But I thought everybody that was here was, when this place was packed.
Yeah. It was a great turnout.
That's what I was going to say. Everybody here, for the most part, we're all positive for the jail expansion, and I hope that the commissioners can get together and agree that they work for the people of the county. They have that job. We elected you to vote for, what the people want, and it's pretty obvious right now, just with the group that's here, that everybody wants it.
For Woodbury County, do you guys know why they're building that new jail? Do you guys know why? That jail that they built in 1997 was 87 people. It is falling apart. My husband is a maintenance guy. But they can't even get a toilet to fix or replace if their toilets go down. That is why. If you don't take care and build a new addition, you're going to see yourself right around this way. I mean, with the jail you have now.
Sioux City Jail was built on the old dividend gas station.
Yes, and they did not have a contract manager.
Okay, folks. Andy, if we have Randy, did you want something? Okay, Randy.
Some of the discussion was worst case scenario if the marshals back out. You've already signed a contract. If you back out on them, we're going to lose our inmates we have now. I talked to the state auditor today in his office. Worst case scenario, if we're out of money in a year or two, the good thing, or the good side, would be if we could get a bank to do the loan to make payroll. The bad side is, on worst case scenario, if you can't make payroll, everybody you owe, whether it's an employee, elected official, outside vendor, has to file a warranty or a warrant with the county. And at that point, the state takes over and says, once those are approved, it's first come, first served. So that means, how are you going to have deputies continue to serve and protect on the road if you're not paying them? Because they said it may take 1, 2, 3, 4 months to get paid. And you got to file that every time. How are you going to staff the jail? Are you guys going to get certified and go over there and take care of all the inmates? How are you going to pay the utilities? All the other offices in the county. No, I asked that. We are almost at our max.
I know.
We are in the top three highest tax counties in the state. So you can only go up a little bit. What it means is you're not going to be able to pay your bills, employees aren't going to stay around, and the state's going to have to come in and take over the county. You may be the elected officials, but you'll have no say in what goes on. You want to give yourself a great name in this county for the next 40, 50 years, go ahead and do that and see what everybody here, everybody that lives in the county thinks of you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other comments? Okay, back in the corner.
Okay. I have just one question.
We can't hear you, ma'am. Can you come forward?
Well, no. It doesn't mean, when he was talking about other prisoners and stuff, mine is more concerned for the inmates. So, like, with the ICE prisoners that are coming and they're just bringing them in, do they automatically come into the yard and jail?
Ma'am, we don't have any ICE prisoners.
But I mean, when they bring them, would they be identified as ICE?
We don't. We're not housing ICE. We haven't housed ICE for a couple of years.
But the federal government has to know.
Yeah, so with ICE prisoners, so there's a couple of different callbacks. A couple of different things with that. So we do have immigration people that are arrested on immigration charges for like reentry. Those are federal cases.
Criminally charged.
They're going to get sentenced. They're going to go through all that stuff just like any other prisoner would. So those people will come in our custody. ICE also has non-criminal cases, which is what the sheriff's talking about.
Right.
And we don't deal with those.
Housing,
those, no, those are not our responsibility at all.
No, okay.
Those fall under Homeland Security.
Okay, then the other thing, you know, when you were talking about, when Shirley was talking about the inmates themselves, if they were, you know, had really medical issues, if they were really identified once they got here that they really had medical issues, and then they were gone, and then they came back or whatever, at that point when they were really serious people, would you not bring them here? Is there another...
Yes, we have special facilities that we would put folks in. So if people are here and they have issues, the courts will decide this person needs medical intervention for some type of issue they may have. Yeah, so, and they've been doing that, and that currently happens. We basically move those people somewhere else.
Okay, folks.
We've had a
Okay, folks, if there's nothing new that we have not heard tonight, you can speak now. If not, I'm turning it back over to Janet so she can conclude the meeting.
I really appreciate y'all coming here because this has been really helpful and informative.
Larry, good night.
It's been since August, this, you know, this project has been brought forward to us. We really have done a lot of soul searching, a lot of research. There's probably still some questions we need to get answered, but that's what this is all about. We need to know what you folks are thinking so we can better research. This is a big decision. That's a lot of money. And, you know, our taxpayers will be impacted. And your comment, the taxes, you know, you said we're one of the highest. Actually, I did check the other day. There's about 10 counties that are over 40 cents. We're at about 34. We came down 2 cents last year. So, but we are, we're working on it. We're working on it. Okay.
We're number 3 in their book.
I think it's overall, not just the county part. But, yeah, we do have some work to do.
I understand overall and the county part. Mm-hmm. But whether it's the county, the state, the city, mm-hmm. school, district,
it all adds up.
We have the third highest tax rate. Yeah. When I pay my taxes, mm-hmm. I hate to be rude, but I don't care if it's you mm-hmm. or the school board. I still got to write the check for that amount.
Exactly.
And it's the third highest in the state.
And this project would just impact just the county part, is what I'm talking about.
But if you lose the money from the feds, what are you going to do in a year or two when you can't pay your bills? Mm-hmm. Because... what are you going to do with all your employees to get money to them? Because I guarantee you that big corporations like MidAmerican, NPPD, places like that that have probably dealt with this before are going to know how to file that paperwork right away. And it's first come, first served. So if we owe the utilities $100,000, you got to pay that. Mm-hmm. When taxes come in, that gets paid before anyone else. So your employees are just sitting there waiting.
Thank you. That's good information. But basically, I want to thank you all for all your information today. It's been very helpful. We will.
We just want you to end the meeting. We need you to conclude the meeting.
Thank
you. Adjourned. Thank you for coming.
Thank you.